Morning, Chair. Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, colleagues.
Morning, morning.
Goeiemôre.
Yeah, Abshiri Changane. Welcome to the meeting, and I know that we had a very good recess. And with all difficulties that we had in our day-to-day work, we have seen good and bad things happening. The attack on the Richards Bay SDP company of late, the attack on the Army base, just general things that is bringing about instability in the country. And I personally want to interpret those instabilities as the state seizure that we have been going through for some time, from the 2020 looting and occupation of the country, the burning of parliament and all these things. It just shows one direction that we are under siege as a country. We might look at it lightly. It's just a pity that our country is not thrown on coup d'etat. But what is happening in this country is tantamount to coup d'etat. Everything you do, it has got a lot of undermining of the rule of law. If people can attack your army base, people can attack your infrastructure on ESCOM, cut everything that is there, Transnet, cut everything that is there, and you do not want to interpret those things as coup d'etat in this country. It is tantamount to it. I know that biblical people might say that at some point the Bible said, we will be punished by fire. Maybe the fire that is ravaging the country is because of biblical things. Because I'm not a biblician, I want to interpret it politically, that to me it is tantamount to coup d'etat. We might have a different view. It can be subject for discussions and interpretation. With that in mind, the meeting is duly opened, and I welcome everybody into the meeting. Can we then observe a moment of silence for mediation and or prayer? Thank you very much. Let's get to apologies, Nosipho.
Good morning, Chairperson. There is only one apology from Mr. Basson. He's on the platform, but he might leave early due to his other provincial commitments.
Thank you very much. That is it. If there is no other apology that is not being sent through, let's note the apology by Honorable Basson. I heard him speaking earlier on and just understood that at some point he might leave the meeting. We then get into... No, I want us to give presentations of both the ACSA and the DPME and discuss once. Why are we dividing them for the deliberations?
Your approach is fine, Chairperson.
Okay. So members, as I'm proposing, we'll receive both 4 and 5. Make notes, and when we'll discuss both of them at the same time. Can we start with ACSA?
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Can I please maybe get a confirmation that I'm audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll start by introducing myself and my team. My name is Tabero Musisinyani. I'm currently the acting business unit leader from a business unit called National D, which is based in the national office and which audits, amongst others, the water portfolio. I'm not alone this morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. With me, I have the senior manager responsible for the water audit, which is Ms. Jolene Pillay. We also have the senior manager responsible for the water trading entity and the TCTA, which is Mr. Dendani Mafuniswa. We also have on call the managers that can support on the team. And my understanding is we were going to also be joined by Ms. Intermissis, who assist them from the infrastructure side. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the opportunity for us to come and engage the committee on the outcomes of the water and sanitation and its entities. From our side, we really value these engagements as the Office of the AGSA, and we are really grateful that we are able to engage. Our aim this morning, Honorable Chair and Members, is that we are able to elevate their messages based on the work that we have done. And I think one thing that I also want to highlight is the fact that this is the status as at the 31st of March 2023. So our audit process, when the year ends on the 31st of March, it then kicks in and it does take a while. So there might be changes that maybe the auditor has implemented subsequent to our audit, because what we do is when we do raise the findings and when we are auditing, sometimes we have noted that management might have implemented some of the matters we are raising. But the presentations we are presenting today is based on the work that we have done. So the presentation will be such that Jolene and Dendani will then be taking through the presentation, and then will then allow, as Chair has directed, the other presentation. Oh, apologies, Chair, I forgot one other member that we have on the call is Ms. Nelisua Msongwa. She's the acting deputy business unit leader on the call. On my side, we have a number of these meetings happening at the same time. So, Honorable Chair and Members, I will ask to be excused maybe after 30 minutes so that I can join the other portfolio committee meetings that are ongoing. However, I will leave you with the team, with Ms. Musongo, who's going to be with the team. And I think if we can kick off, Honorable Chair, with our with your permission to start the presentation.
Yes, of course.
Thank you so much. So so from our side, Jolene will be the one who's be sharing. But where we start with our audit outcomes, it really starts with the mission we have as the Office of the AGSA. And we really exist to strengthen our country democracy by enabling oversight. So the session today where we'll be presenting the outcomes and the insights that we have identified is us enabling their committee as they discharge their duties. And we're really hoping that at the end of this presentation, the committee will be empowered to be able to take any recommendations and any matters further. Please move to the next slide. So, Honorable Chair and Members, you might be aware that we as the Office of SGSA has embarked on what we call Strategy 2030. And this is the target that we have set ourselves as the Office of SGSA to really work on assisting or working with government. Okay, Honorable Chair, this
feedback that we're getting. I'm sorry.
It's okay, Honorable Chair. Well, we are really working with government so that we can then shift the culture that we currently see. I think in some of the presentation we have interchangeably used the word culture shift. And the reason why we really are on this journey is because through the years, we've really have seen the lived experience of South Africans not in a good light. We've continued to see misuse of state resources, persistent weaknesses in the system of transparency, accountability, and performance. And this has really had a negative impact on the lived realities of South Africans. And the pictures we are then showing on the slide is the current realities as we see them. Honorable Chair and Members might have seen some of these pictures making headlines but that is the current realities that we see in our country. So based on that, this then also gave us the opportunity to then say that we are then going to have a model that we call the accountability ecosystem. Because what we believe in this model is to say, if we are going to change the picture that we are seeing in the country, everybody in the ecosystem needs to ensure that they then play their part. So in the next slide that we have, we then introduce the accountability ecosystem model. And Honorable and Chair members, they would have seen this presentation. Please move, Jolene. They would have seen this slide in all our presentation. And the message that we are really landing with this slide is the fact that we all have a role to play. And in the center, we start with the office of the AGSA, where we say we are committed to play our part. As we are auditing and discharging our responsibility, we are committing to say, rather than the traditional ways where we just audit the financial statements and compliance and the freedom objectives, we really aim to ensure that we then are able to elevate any insights that we may identify during the audit. And the insights are there to then help the department and management in them ensuring that as they discharge their duties, they know what to focus on as well. We also then use a lever what we call influence, because we do understand that other role players that are also outside the departments that we then have identified, as we need to influence them if we want to see the change in government and mostly even in the water and sanitation sector. We also have a lever called enforcement, and this talks to the PAA amendment that has taken place. It's also known as the material irregularity process. So in instances where after we've given insights and after we have influenced, where we really see a need for us to then utilize the enforcement lever, we do then utilize that enforcement. I think in the slides that you are going to see today, we also have a section on instances where we had to raise material irregularities to management. So that's the commitment that we made as the Office of the AGSA when it comes to the whole accountability ecosystem. Where the other role players within the system is the leadership and decision makers. When we start on the left-hand side of the presentation, Honorable Chair and members, what we are saying is it starts with the officials on the ground. As they discharge their duties on a day-to-day basis, they need to ensure that they are complying with any laws and regulations applicable to them, any guidance, policies, and procedures to ensure that whatever they are doing is leading their department, its entities, towards achieving its mandate. We also then highlight the senior managers have a role to play, and their role is to supervise, to provide guidance, and when necessary, they need to then implement consequence management if the officials are not adhering to the laws and regulations that has been set forth. We then highlight the importance of the accounting officers and accounting authorities, because they also have a role to play. Some of their roles has been highlighted as well in the PFMA. We are also then saying to them, they also have a role to play when they are supported with the internal audit and the audit committee. And over the years, we have been calling on the internal audit and audit committee to continuously support the accounting officer and the accounting authority so that we are able to see then a better picture. On top of the chart, we then have the ministers. When we move to the right, we are also highlighting the support in the oversight committee structures, which is also the committee that we are presenting to today, as well as other coordinating departments. So in our engagements with all these departments, we remind them of the role that they need to play in the ecosystem so that we can change the picture that we are currently seeing in government. At the bottom of the slide, we have citizenry, and we are then saying they also need to play their part. Where there are laws and regulations, they need to play their part by complying with those laws and regulations. They also need to play their part by also giving us feedback on what they are seeing on the ground, so we are able to reflect and make the necessary changes where required. So this, Honorable Chair and members, is what we call the accountability ecosystem. And our call to action is that everybody in the accountability system needs to really play their part if we are then going to see the changes we want to see in our country. So for the rest of the presentation, Honorable Chair and Honorable members, I'm going to hand over to my team that will then take through the committee with what we had observed in the current audit, and in some of these processes they will also make a linkage to the accountability system and indicate the importance of everybody on the system playing their part. I'm going to hand over to Jolene, Honorable Chair, and as I said, I might step off the meeting because I need to go attend other portfolio committee meetings. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Over to you, Jolene.
Thank you very much, Kabenu. Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll be taking you through the next few slides before I hand over to my colleague, Tim Dani. We starting off with the audit outcomes, just to let the committee know that we're essentially analysing four entities, which is the department and the three entities under the that falls under the department, which is WTE, TTA, and WRC. Just for the committee to note as well that the water boards have a separate year end of 30 June, so we're currently still busy with those orders, so they're not included in this analysis. So on the screen, you would see that we have compared the 2022-23 audit outcomes to the 2019-20 audit outcomes, which is the first year of the current administration. And we have also compared it to the comparative year 21-22. Overall, if we look at the portfolio, there is an improvement from 2019-20 as WRC moved to a clean audit outcome and has sustained this outcome. The remaining entities, DWS, WTE, and TCTA, have remained stagnant to achieve the unqualified audit outcomes with findings. So overall, the portfolio has remained fairly stable, and there were really no qualification matters that needed to be dealt with or needs to be dealt with. However, looking at the portfolio, it is ideal that all the entities should be in the green block or to achieve clean audit outcomes. As if these entities are able to move to that space, it means that they can place their main focus on service delivery aspects. So it is important for the committee that you understand the reasons for the findings that have been identified, and then to understand the action plans that management has in place, because ideally we want this particular portfolio to move to clean audit outcomes. The department was unqualified, but it had a material error in the reported performance information, as well as non-compliance findings on consequence management, while both WTE and TCTA had non-compliance findings for material corrections to the financial statements and consequence management as well. We then move on to look at the portfolio performance. The slide that you are looking at currently relates to the audit outcomes for the 22-23 financial year. It is important to note that the performance indicators for WTE are included in the report for DWS, so there's no separate analysis that we've done for them. Excuse me. So of the remaining, three entities, only DWS had a material error that could not be corrected with the audit process, and then no material matters were noted for WRC and TCTA. The error for DWS related to one indicator, which is the percentage of scheduled maintenance projects completed as a proportion of planned maintenance. The internal control processes around this particular indicator were not adequate during the year, and as a result, the reported performance did not agree to the supporting evidence expected to support the performance that has been reported based on the sample that we selected. The evidence that we've inspected indicated that the performance was not achieved based on the errors that we had identified, and therefore we reported that the performance is likely to be lower than what is actually reported. This is a key service delivery indicator, as a failure to properly maintain key infrastructure at the WTE contributes to further rapid deterioration of these assets and unplanned maintenance as well, which in turn will require significant investment in either maintenance or replacement of such infrastructure. So it's important that the department strengthens their internal controls around this process. With the next slide, we have analyzed the medium-term strategic framework, which essentially covers the period from 2019 to 2014. We've just extracted some of the key indicators that we've identified in there, and we are highlighting that there are a few indicators that have not been achieved as yet. We also note that, you know, there's still a year to go before the end of this period. So what we identified around water use licenses is that the timeframes for these license applications were originally 300 days when the targets were set. By the time we had audited by 31 March 2023, the actual timeframe had been reduced to 110 days that we were able to calculate with this particular audit. The department has done well to clear backlogs in processing of applications, but it's still working towards the planned 90-day timeframe that needs to be achieved for the processing of these applications. So it's still working towards that. There was a target that 27 district municipalities with 5-year reliability implementation plans, should be implemented. And we noted by the end of March that only 4 of these were achieved. There is a requirement for 12,221 bucket systems that were planned to be replaced. However, there were only minimal achievements against this that has been reported since 2019. We will talk to that in a separate slide. We also noted that the MTSF targeted 9 dam safety rehabilitation projects that needed to be completed. However, at the end of our audit, only 1 project had been completed by 31 March. This is also a concerning indicator because of the impact that this could potentially have on the lives of the surrounding communities and the members of the community that reside close to these identified dams. With the TCTA, we have included 2 projects. These are presidential projects, and we noted that for the 2 projects, the targets that had been set in the APP had not been achieved, and Pendani will talk to these 2 projects a little while later in his presentation. If we move on to the next slide, we have extracted from the 22-23 performance report some of the key indicators that had not been achieved. What you're seeing in the slide is information that has been extracted from the annual report. It is provided for information, so we won't go through slides 9 and 10. We then move on to slide 11, where we we start our reflection on the mandate of the department and its key service delivery objectives. We're starting with the RBIC projects. With the RBIC projects, it essentially refers to the regional bulk infrastructure grant, and the projects that we are analyzing here are projects that the department is primarily responsible for. And in most of these cases, the department has appointed an implementing agent, and the implementing agent will then appoint a contractor to assist with the completion of these projects. If we look at the analysis that we've provided, We noted that there were significant delays in the completion of these RBIC projects. In the graph that has been presented, we have identified that of the 85 projects that are currently in progress, 60 of those projects were delayed. There are various reasons for these delays. However, we are saying that it is the responsibility of the project managers to proactively manage all of the variables to ensure that projects are completed within the set timelines and within set budgets as well. Delayed projects should be the exception and not the norm. We further noted that project delays often resulted in revision of budgets. For the projects in progress, we noted that the original costs have increased by an amount of 9.4 billion to arrive at the revised budget amounts of 67 billion for these projects. So as these projects continue to be delayed, the costs continue to escalate, and therefore it's extremely important that it is properly managed within the timelines and the budgets that have been set. During the audit process, we had selected a sample of significantly delayed projects and analyzed the root causes for the delays. What we identified as root causes, are included in the slide, but we noticed that in a number of cases, the implementing agents that have been appointed are the beneficiary municipalities. And in a lot of these cases, these beneficiary municipalities have a history of poor financial control and usually lack adequate capacity to be able to implement this project, these projects, which contributes to the delays. We identify that with these project delays, where implementing agents have been appointed to manage these projects, that where the implementing agents are not delivering in accordance with their service level agreements, that there isn't action that has been taken for their poor performance or their inability to deliver as has been agreed upon. Poor performance of contractors are not always identified in a timely manner. In a lot of cases, contractors abandon sites due to cash flow challenges that they are experiencing or non-payment by municipalities. This is an indication that through the appointment processes, that maybe due diligence, proper due diligence on the appointment of these contractors are not properly performed to identify whether, you know, these contractors are able or do have capacity to be able to complete this project, these projects. And in some cases, these contractors are not paid by municipalities, despite the fact that the department is providing funds for them to pay work that has been completed. Delays in the procurement process have come across also quite strongly in terms of the appointment of contractors and also procuring some of the materials. We have identified access restrictions by community leaders and protests by communities as also contributing to the delays in the projects. And we're saying that these are important social aspects related to these projects that must be properly managed. And overall, we're saying that there has been poor project management by implementing agents as well as the department and poor oversight and monitoring by the department. Key recommendations in respect of this, we are saying that the project management units must be adequately capacitated with the right skills to drive performance targets that have been set for these projects, and project managers must properly monitor the performance of implementing agents and contractors, and corrective action must be taken or must be implemented as may be necessary, including invoking penalty clauses when necessary. We then move on to the bucket eradication program, which is a separate project that we wanted to highlight. This is a key government priority. It has targets have been included in the MTSF, as I've indicated before. We are essentially highlighting with the slide that there has been slow progress in implementing this project. We also noted that the spending has been quite low relating to this. So this program had initially targeted 4 provinces, and the department had reported that targets were achieved for 2 provinces, which is the Eastern Cape and the Northwest. And these targets are then essentially relating to outstanding work in the Free State and the Northern Cape. And during our audit, we noted that there has been significant delays due to poor project management by the department, poor performance by appointed contractors, and delays in the procurement processes by the department. Especially of concern, given the impact that this has on the communities that continue to use this bucket system process. So it's a matter that the department needs to try to address as soon as possible. Okay, with that, I'm going to hand over to Tendani to take us through the messages on WTE and TCTA for infrastructure. Thank you, Tendani.
Thank you, Jolene. Good morning to the honorable members. In terms of the key messages on the infrastructure development, specifically at the audits of Water Trading Entity and the Trans-Canadian Tunnel Authority, I've just listed some of the projects that we've listed, we've audited there on the slides. And if you look at the planned completion date and the revised completion date, you can actually see that there are delays in terms of these projects, and some of them has not yet taken off. So we looked at the Mukolo Crocodile Water Project. We looked at Mkomazi, which are projects which the TCTA is implementing. In these projects, we identified that there are delays in terms of sourcing the necessary funding for the project. Some delays were as a result of water user agreements not being signed by municipalities at the Mkomazi Water Project. There are two municipalities in the KZN that have not yet submitted the water user agreements. It appears there needs to be a communication between the department and the municipalities to just ensure that they are aligned in terms of the importance of the submissions of those water user agreements in time to ensure that TCT can also get the necessary funding to execute this project. The Mzimvubu project, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I think we really engaged on it last year when we went through the same presentation. Again, there has been very, very limited improvement on this project. There is currently a dispute between the department and the service provider in terms of the invoices that were submitted for funding for the project. So it hasn't really moved ever since we presented in the previous year. The Glen William project also in the current year we raised a material irregularity because of the delays in this project. Initially it was meant to be finalized in 2018. It was the finalization date was revised to 2021. Now again, it's revised to 2028. Also, so we've seen significant delays there on that project. We can move on to the next slide, Julie. Thanks. So if we look at the entire project, we identified that 59% of the project are delayed. And also when we looked at the root causes, it's the same root causes that Jolene spoke to, wherein we spoke about inadequate supervision of contractors, the supply chain management systems. But what we've identified is here that the department has since developed the infrastructure procurement strategy, which would then assist in ensuring that the procurement processes are alleviated. We do then encourage the department to just ensure that infrastructure procurement strategy is implemented appropriately. Then also again, if you just look at the impact of this delayed project has on the ordinary users, is that the users will not get the water that they are supposed to get. Already South Africa is a water scarce country. This project really needs to be expedited within the necessary timelines. Again, also we identified that so for some projects, they really affect, they may have an impact on your water security. Say maybe for example, your Glen William Dam, it's supposed to serve a number of farmers there within the area. But the delays then means that the additional areas that needs to be irrigated by the farmers cannot be irrigated because water is not then being delivered to those farmers. We also identify that there are health concerns as residents will not get access to water or access to clean water. There are also key facilities that would require access to clean water, like your hospitals. We have identified some hospitals wherein they rely on water from the water tankers to run their hospital. This may be to the detriment of the health of the ordinary citizens of the country. We did recommend that there should be a detailed action plan that should address these issues relating to the delays in projects. There should be stringent project management controls to just ensure that the delays are not experienced. And again, the implementation of the implementation of the infrastructure procurement strategy. Thanks, Jolene. You can move on to the next slide. When we look at maintenance, I think in the current year, we did note that management did appropriately spend their maintenance budget. However, there is the issue is that if you look at the prior years, there has been significant underspending on maintenance. And if you underspend on maintenance, it means then you are building a backlog of assets that needs to be maintained. So there is quite a significant backlog there of bank infrastructure assets that needs to be maintained. Our observations are that 42% of the trading entities' bank water infrastructure is in poor conditions. And when we looked at the spend that the spend in the current year of 13 billion on the repairs, it equates to just 2% of the total infrastructure assets balance. It's if you only spend 2% of your infrastructure assets balance, that's quite a very low amount, a low amount of spend. Even National Treasury prescribes that at least you need to spend 8% in maintenance of your infrastructure assets. So there is still the spend is still less compared to the norms prescribed by National Treasury. Again, also we noted that there isn't the department doesn't have a maintenance policy in place. The asset management is outdated. It was last updated in 2018. It also doesn't make reference to the number asset numbers in the infrastructure asset register, and also it's not compliant to the government Mobile Asset Management Act, which is the GIAMA Act. So those are the insights that we got from maintenance of infrastructure assets. Thanks, Jolene. We can move on. In terms of water quality, here, Honorable Chair and members, I must really commend the department for producing the Green Drop Watch report and the Blue Drop Watch report. These reports, they really keep the public and stakeholders informed of the state of water and sanitation in the country. What we also noted is that in the reports, they also then identify what needs to be done to address the challenges that the country has in terms of water and sanitation. When we assessed the Blue Drop Watch report, we identified that 15% of the water supply systems are not in good condition. They are in a poor and critical condition, which means that then they do not supply the water that meets the minimum water quality standards. And it may be then to the detriment of the health of the ordinary residents within the country. The poor and critical water supply system identified were mainly in the Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and the Northwest provinces. In terms of our assessment of the Green Drop Watch report, we identified that there are about 334 water works, wastewater treatment plants which were in critical state, and they really need to be to be maintained. Those are the issues that we have identified, and what we've recommended is that there needs to be a national action plan that needs to then just address the root causes of the water quality risks which were identified in this in the Blue and Green Drop reports. We also then identified that in terms of the responses, when these issues are identified, the municipalities need to come up with action plans to address the deficiencies that we identified. We identified that only 50% of those wastewater treatment plants submitted their corrective action plans to the department. So the department should just then ensure that the corrective action plans are developed and implemented by all these wastewater treatment works that are identified to be not compliant. Thanks, Julian. You can move on to the next slide. When we look at the water losses, again, if you look at the graph that is on the presentation, we can actually see that water losses from the 2017-18 year has been on the rise. So it does say that the department is not really performing enough to ensure that the water losses are kept. If you look at the avoidable water losses for the 2022-23 financial year, we see that there is about 1.5 billion of avoidable water losses. And if maybe if you just want to put this number in context, that 1.5 billion of avoidable water losses could actually serve 19.3 million in people in South Africa for a year. If we look at the revenue that it can actually generate for the country, those avoidable water losses could actually generate 18.9 billion revenue from the sales of water for the country. Again, we then recommended that there needs to be a national action plan to just address the water losses that is currently occurring within the country. Thanks, Jolene. You can move on to the next slide. In terms of material irregularities, the water portfolio currently has about 6 material irregularities. One is at the Department of Water and Sanitation, and the other 5 are at the water trading entity. In the current year, we actually issued 3 new material irregularities at the water trading entity. One was on payments which were made in vain for repair services at various water pump stations. This is where we actually then identified that there was a service provider that was appointed to perform repair services at the pump stations. What we identified that the supplier was paid for instances where work was not performed at all, or work, and also instances where work was not fully performed. However, we also then identified that the engineers from the WTE actually signed off on those invoices and certified that the work was performed. So it appears that there is lack of supervision or lack of reviews of the work which is actually performed by these service providers. We also then raised a material irregularity on the delays in the Glen William Dam, which then resulted in financial losses. These are actual, these are losses which are related to your running of the site, which is already set up at the Glen William Dam, wherein you get a day-to-day overhead and costs relating to running of that plant, your electricity and all those things. Also, we identified that there were certain construction workers which were employed to perform work there at Glen William, but they couldn't work because construction had not yet commenced. So the salaries that were paid to those employees, construction workers appointed, were in vain because they were not performing any work there at the site. So this leads to just, you know, financial losses which cannot be actually linked to any construction work that has been performed. Also, we also raised the material irregularities still at the Glen William Dam to say, you know, the delays in the construction of that, or in the raising of the wall there, it results in safety risks to the residents and farmers around the Glen William Dam, because there are a number of reports that were performed, which then actually indicated that there are safety risks that are there on that dam wall. So if anything were to happen, it means that the farmers around the Glen William Dam and the residents there may be severely affected. So we just raised the safety issue there. And also we raised an issue in terms of the livelihood, because when we looked at the feasibility study and the presentations which were made by the department to this committee, they indicated that the project was meant to create about 3,800 jobs for the residents around Glen William in terms of farming and downstream economic activities. So those jobs are not being created because the project is not yet finalized. But I can say that we did note that there has been a certain progress here, wherein we saw there are bids which have been advertised and some bids have been awarded for the raising of this dam wall. We will then just continuously track the progress here on this project. We will also then just request the committee to just continuously follow up on the progress on this of this project. In terms of our observation from the MI processes, ever since we implemented this material irregularity process, we do note that our recommendations are being addressed. There are certain investigations which have been performed about 4 investigations have already been performed on the material irregularities that we have issued. And there are certain disciplinary steps that have been performed. I think there's just been slow progress in terms of finalization of the disciplinary processes and taking the necessary action against the employees who have been found wanting there. Also, in some cases, we have really seen the willingness of the accounting officer to see the process through by instructing the company to issue summons for the recovery of funds which were lost by the entity from the former officials. We do note that the process is still ongoing. The state attorney is in the process of issuing those summons to recover the funds which were lost by the water trading entity. Thanks, Jolene. You can move on to the next slide. In terms of the quality of financial reporting, I think Jolene has really covered this slide. What I would just like to highlight is that the two entities that still submitted financial statements which had material misstatements is your water trading entity and the TCTA. The water trading entity, the issues there, it's basically the issue of them getting information from Lesotho in time. I must say that there has been progress in the current year, because in the previous years, we used to basically audit based on we used to rely on the work which was performed by the auditors of the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority. In the current year, we could actually get access to information. The issue with that information is that the information came after the entity had submitted its financial statements for audit. It means then that they needed to then go back and adjust those financial statements that were submitted for audit. So they just need to ensure that there is proper communication and controls in place, which will then ensure that that information is submitted before they could submit the financial statements for audit. In terms of the TCTA, there were just my minor issues. The amounts were material. So it's just the strength, the preparation and the review of those financials should just be strengthened, and they can easily avoid those material misstatements in the financial statements. Thanks, Julie. We can move on to the next slide. In terms of compliance with key legislation, we did identify findings on procurement and contract management at WTE. Quality of AAFS, I've taken to that. Prevention of irregular, unauthorized, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure at both WTE and TCTA, and affecting consequences at the DWS, WTE, and the TCTA. I will talk to these issues in the next slides. Thanks, Jolene. We can move on. We can also skip this one. I'll cover it in the next slides. Right. Then, in terms of the PSMA compliance and reporting framework, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that sometime in early January, the National Treasury issued Instruction Note Number 4, which basically then indicated that the disclosure of historic irregular, fruitless, and unauthorized expenditures, I will call them unwanted expenditures for the purposes of this presentation. So disclosure of those unwanted expenditures should actually then be moved from the financial statements to the annual report. So in the financial statements, the entities will only disclose the current year amounts and the previous year's amount. The historical balance will actually then move to the annual report. So our recommendation is to the committee is that they need to then just go through the annual report and engage directly with the information that is disclosed of those historical unwanted expenditures in the annual report, because they are no longer in the financial statements. Also, in terms of our audit, we do not provide assurance on information that is included in the annual report. So it means now the historical balances of these unwanted expenditures, we don't provide assurance on those amounts. However, we have refined our audit process to say, even though we are not going to provide assurance, we should still perform a review of those amounts and then just add them to the registers and the supporting documentation that we have from the client. So we have performed that the review of those historical balances that are disclosed in the annual report, and if we do identify any inconsistencies, we We would disclose this in the audit report under other information. For the current year, we do not identify any inconsistencies on those historic, irregular, and fruitless and unauthorized expenditures. Thanks, Jolene. We can move on to the next slide. Then, in terms of irregular expenditure, here, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I would really like to commend the department and the entities within the department in terms of the improvement that we have seen in the incurrence of irregular expenditure. If you look at the graph on the slide, from the balance has been reducing from the 2019-20 financial year. At 2019-20, it was at 979 million. It has reduced to 31 million in the current year, and that 31 million is mostly coming from your water trading entity, where in the 27 million was incurred there, and at TCTA 3 million was incurred. The nature at water trading entity is mostly the emergency procurement, which actually did not meet the emergency requirements as prescribed by Treasury regulations. At the TCTA, it was basically expansions or variations which were not approved by National Treasury. Thanks, Jolene. We can move on to the next slide. Then, in terms of consequence management, I did indicate that we have included these findings in the audit report. Here, we are basically seeing a slow response to consequence management or slow progress in clearing the historical balance of unwanted expenditures. At 2019-20, we had about 18 billion of unwanted expenditures within the water portfolio. Currently, it's sitting at 16 billion of unwanted expenditures. So although there is a improvement, it's moving at a slow pace, and we would really like to see this moving at slightly at a higher pace, and we would like to see the department ensuring that this historical unwanted expenditures are cleared. We did obtain commitment from the accounting officer to say they will ensure that they appoint an external investigators to assist in investigating this historic irregular expenditures. I think the issue has been that the internal audit performs an investigation on this historical unwanted expenditures. However, the capacity was just not enough based on the volume of the historical unwanted expenditures the department and the entity said. In terms of the TCTA, we really have also seen a significant improvement. In the current year, about 500 million was condoned at the TCTA. There is, however, still a balance of about 240 million. That's why I still have that paragraph in the audit report of consequence management. So the TCTA really needs to also ensure that the historical unwanted expenditures are investigated and are dealt with in the appropriate manner. Thanks, Jolene. We can move on to the next slide. In terms of my recommendations from the previous year, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, when we presented this report in the previous year, we recommended that the committee follows up on the issue relating to the revision of the net benefit rate for the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. This is the rate per quantity of water that South Africa pays Lesotho. We have seen progress in the current financial year, wherein the net benefit rate was recomputed. That recomputation actually then indicated that we need to pay Lesotho a higher net benefit rate because of certain agreements that were made at the inception of the project in the 1980s. The recomputation was submitted to us. We had a meeting with a representative of the Lesotho Highlands Water Commission who made that presentation. We are still just performing the review of the presentation which was made. We also noted improvements, like I said, in monitoring of compliance with legislation. more, especially in the SCM division. That's why we saw a significant decline in the irregular expenditure. However, we do note that there is 31 million that was still incurred of irregular expenditure, meaning that there is still controls that needs to be strengthened around that area. In terms of quality of financial statements, we noted improvement at the DWS. However, at TCTA and WTE, the quality of financial statements remained stagnant, so controls there still needs to be strengthened. We also noted that the department actually developed a water services improvement plan, which will then just assist in improving service delivery at municipalities. The plan also ensures that there is a coordination with key stakeholders like your National Treasury, COCTA, MISA, and SALGA, to just ensure that appropriate action plans are implemented to address the root causes for challenges with water infrastructure, water quality, and water losses. In terms of significantly delayed projects, here we really didn't see any movement. However, we do commend management for coming up with for developing the water infrastructure procurement strategy. We then hope that it's implemented appropriately to ensure that there aren't any delays in this water infrastructure project. Thanks, Jolene. We can move on to the next slide. All right. So in terms of the key recommendations that we made to the accounting officers, accounting authorities, and the minister of the department, we then recommended that they continue with implementation of the water services improvement program. They also then ensure that they implement that procurement strategy, which would then improve the turnaround time in terms of procurement of infrastructure goods and services. Monitoring and supervising of agents, implementing agents and contractors should be strengthened to ensure that construction work is or repair work is of the required quality. Again, consequence management processes should also then be strengthened to ensure that those historic balances of unwanted expenditure is dealt with. In terms of our overall messages to the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members of the Committee, we will request that you continuously engage the Accounting Officer and the Minister on the steps that have been taken or will be taken to address the material irregularities that are identified. Similarly, also just engage them on the steps that they are taking to ensure that these material irregularities do not occur in future. Again, we will request that you continuously then engage the accounting officer and the ministers on the challenges which are experienced with this management of projects, and also the plans that they have to ensure that the projects are managed properly and the delays are not experienced. And also then we request that you engage the accounting officer on the progress that has been made in terms of the implementation of the water services improvement plan in coordination with National Treasury, COCTA, MISA, and SALGA. Again, I think this one is coming also from the previous years, where we really request that you stay close to the implementation of the consequence management and ensure that the action plans are then implemented to improve financial management controls, more especially at the water trading entity and the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority audits. That is my presentation, Honorable Chair and members, on the audit outcomes. I thank you very much for giving me the audience. But before maybe I hand back to the Chair, I would really just like to request that the committee should complete the feedback questionnaires which were submitted to the committee, and return this to the committee coordinator for submission back to our office. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much. Very thoughtful information and need for good thoughts. I know we have committed that we will want to receive the second presentation before we engage. I hope you have made your notes. I'm not going to mince the word of what you wanted to say on this report. We are not jumping to the other report because this one is not important. It's also on the basis of us managing the time. So please make your notes. Get ready at the time for discussion. Can you get to the second presentation?
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity in representing DPME. The DG, I'm representing the DG today because he is held somewhere, you know, because of the other commitments, engagement which he was, clashing with this one. So I will be, my name is Marco Muchatinde. I will be representing, leading the team that is representing DPME. And with me, I have the DG's office, Dr. Siso Nobo, and Ms. Mayangela. And I've got the team from Sector Monitoring, which is the branch I'm leading, Kifuyes Tobani. She is the acting chief director, local government, human settlement, and water and sanitation fall under her authority as well. She manages that section. She will be doing the presentation with her. We've got a small team of people. I see we've been joined by Mpoint Banda and Mamache from Okupa. She's the one who is helping us with the presentation. Chair, we have seen, you know, progress in the performance of this unit is steady as compared to previous years. And from where we are coming from DPME, we will be looking at our report, you know, from a perspective of the MTSF, which is the medium-term strategic framework. So the annual performance plans are the build-up towards the medium-term strategic frameworks, towards the NDP. So this is a step a little bit upwards, you know, as compared to, you know, where we are dealing with directly, you know, the performance. So the main point is that we want to know, after we've done what we are doing in departments, but the department has performed the way it has performed, what is the value add? What is the outcome? What is the impact to the society? Because that is where it is very, very important that you know, the work of the government must be impactful to the society. So in this particular case, it's in terms of water and sanitation. In a nutshell, you know, from the DPME, we are foreseeing that, you know, in future, as much as we have got crisis in energy, water is the next crisis which we are seeing, and then we wish to make certain that it is not going to go towards what we are seeing. And we are very, you know, excited when we see, you know, some progress, you know, in how the department is dealing with water and sanitation. There are, you know, you've heard about the water use licenses, efficiencies which have improved. Very excited about that. The party to that, those you know, bilaterals as DPME to say how do we assist in that manner. And today we are still having a stubborn, you know, stubborn market system, which we really want to erase, because that is reducing the dignity of our people. But then we'll see that the main thing is about infrastructure. You need to have bad infrastructure and so to be able to deal with that. In a nutshell, that is basically what will be coming. It will touch also the sanitary, water and sanitation entities, which are under us, you know, how they are performing and you know, how are they impactful or not impactful, and the challenges which they are having, you know, in discharging their responsibilities. Thank you very much. Because I can see that the presentation is already up, let me give it over to Ms. If you were Thobani, to take us through. Thank you, Chair and Committee.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and the colleagues. I'm trying to switch on my camera so that you can see the face, but I don't see any picture coming out.
We do see the picture.
Oh, okay. No, thank you very much. But I will switch on off the video now and then and continue with the presentation. Thank you. The presentation outline will be giving the introduction and purpose, the methodology and the approach, the strategic intent and the problem statement, performance reports, which are actually aligned to the annual report, the MTSF for 2019 to 2024. We'll also look at the performance of the water and sanitation entities for the period of 1st of April 2022. We'll also look at the achievements, the persistent challenges, the interventions to address challenges in the sector, as well as the recommendations. The introduction, the purpose of this presentation is to appraise the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation on the performance for the period ended 31st March 2023. And the presentation, it outlines the performance of the department, focusing on the overview of monitoring and evaluation of the work of the department, which falls under priority five, covers the areas of spatial integration, local government, and human settlements. It also covers the annual performance for the period of 1st of April up to 31st March 2023, looking at the outcomes and the impact indicators. We'll also cover a brief analysis of the performance of the associated entities, and also outlines the key achievements, the persistent challenges, and the binding constraints. And in conclusion, we'll then put some recommendations and suggestions to be implemented towards the improvement of the performance. I'll be very quick on this one. There is just about the methodology that and approach that we are using at DPME, of which is the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. We are more focused on the results-based and theory of change. We use a variety of data sources, including the data from the government think tankers, the research institutions. We also use the evaluations and the research reports on the work that we are doing in terms of analyzing the performance of all the sectors. We conduct verification on sites and to the selected sites to understand the impact of the policy. In addition, DPME analyzes administrative data to track progress and resource usage to achieve the MTSF outcomes. After the whole process, we make recommendations as well as the remedial actions. We also do the regular engagement to continue with the department and in the form of intervention and through the bilaterals and the recommendations that are also presented to the cabinet for approval. The methodology, this one will be just be quick, is on the results-based framework where we look at the inputs, the activities, outputs, outcomes, and then later we want to see the impact. So on the first three inputs, activities, and outputs is more on implementation than the outcomes and the impact, as I've indicated in the presentation outline. That's where we measure now the results. Next slide. The theory of change for DPME is linked to above what call, the above slide, where we look at the inputs, the activities, and the outputs. We've just listed in terms of the activities what comprises the all what call this level is about the operations of the indicators where there was what call implementation needs to take place. And then on the last two, we're looking at the outcomes in terms of the functional, efficient, and integrated government. We look at the MTSF priorities and the improved performance in all outcome areas. Lastly, we look at the impact in terms of all these programs and policies that are being implemented. Are they really taking us where we want what call to see? For example, in terms of water, are we actually getting what called the quality of water? Is everyone have access to water in terms of the Bill of Rights? Let's move to the next slide. The strategic intent and the problem statement in for water and sanitation. What do we want to what call achieve? What are the main what call challenges? I think this starts from the NDP, where it recognizes the water scarcity as a binding constraint to the national development and highlight the importance of carefully managing this limited resource. The chapter 4 of the NDP, it envisages the South African that recognizes the importance of secure and equitable access to water. Given this expression in priority two, we are looking at the economic transformation and job creation. And in priority five, we are looking at water in terms of the basic services. In particular, the department was expected to focus on the integrated water resource management. Next slide. This is a summary of the APP, annual performance plan, of which the department is reporting to the Department of Planning and Monitoring on a quarterly basis. The EUPR stands for Electronic Quarterly Progress Reports. So we have just what called summarized what called the indicators and also the last column reflecting on the performance based on the reports that has been submitted. For quarter one, it was 21st of April 2022 up to June 2022. And the last quarter is 1st of January to 31st of January 2023. But because it is too summarized, I will just, so that the honorable members, they can also just understand, I will just unpack it very shortly, this what call, this slide. Here it reflects on the indicators that are being what call performed as per the AP. And the indicators, they range from a number of indicators. I will just mention a few, but this is what called the Department of Water and Sanitation is doing throughout the year. The summary is on the indicators on water resource information, water resource infrastructure, water resource institutional oversight, water resource policy and strategy, water resource regulation, water resource grant. It also looked at the departmental management, financial management, including the water trading, the provincial and international reports coordination, and the integrated water resource planning. So the indicators that are captured here and summarized, they come from these various sub programs that I've just what called mentioned. an overall performance for the department in terms of the their ATP and the annual report. The performance, it is what called satisfactory. Green, it actually shows the indicators that has been achieved. For quarter one, it was 78 targets out of 82. For quarter two, 74 have been achieved out of 89 targets. Then 64 out of 93 and 69 out of 96 targets. In overall performance, the department, it is performing very well, despite that there are still teething issues that needs to be addressed. Next slide. Next slide, please. Can we move to the next slide? From my side, the slides are not moving.
They are not moving. They are stationary and moving on our side.
Okay. Mamote?
Apologies, colleagues. I am trying to move on my side. It's just not moving. So I'm trying to unshare the presentation and share it again. Thanks.
Oh, okay. I think I can also at the min. Okay, thank you. The next slide, we are looking at the monitoring the performance in terms of the medium-term strategic framework. The monitoring of the Department of Water and Sanitation is done through the ATP and the EUPR, as well as on the MTSF for the period of 2019 until 2024. But for this presentation, we are only zooming for the performance between 1st of April 2022 to 31st March 2023 in order to align with the period of the annual report. For the MTSF, the indicators for water and sanitation, we are looking at the target as the 95%. Reliability of water services. I think we have, the previous presenter has already talked on the bucket sanitation systems, which are not performing well or very slow. According to the reasons is that issue on the construction of the bulk infrastructure to connect waterborne sanitation at various they are at various levels of completion, but in terms of the performance, it's indicated red, meaning that the performance is not what called good. Also on the refurbishment projects, I think also the previous presenter mentioned the issues around what called infrastructure project. The progress is also on red. On the water treatment works that has been assessed for compliance with blue drop, the department has done after these processes of blue drop and green drop, they've been halted since 2014. But with the current financial year that we are assessing, everything was brought back. And we have seen the outcome. The department has managed to make sure that the blue drop and the green drop assessment reports are what called produced. That is why the performance there is green. These reports, they actually indicated the status of the water what called quality. On the non-compliance water supply systems, it's 32%, of which is 122 water supply systems that have been monitored. If we are looking at the target, it's supposed to be 371. So that is why it's red. In terms of developing the five-year reliability implementation for the 27 districts, also the performance there is not satisfactory. Next slide. I will try to rush this. On the wastewater treatment works, where we've seen it's green, 98% project projects completed, of which 45 is for water and 7 is for sanitation. The non-compliant, 269 compliant wastewater system, EMBA, they are at 58%. The draft National Water Amendment Bill submitted to Cabinet, the input from the line functionaries consolidated and updated. They are progressing also on the amendment bill. Next slide. The land reform farms and land to be issued with water use licenses and secure water rights. The target there is 100% as of 30th of September. The department has performed 568. The number of water, wastewater management plans, development and implemented. The developed ones is two, of which is green. It's Upper Olifant in Mpumalanga province and one in Limpopo. Implemented. There are also two Northern Cape as well as the Eastern Cape. The percentage level of compliance of water users, it's 58%, they are on EMBA, and percentage of water use licenses applications processed, they are currently at what's called performed 62%. Next slide. The performance against the 2019 MTSF for the current period that we are looking, we are having two graphs there that they actually indicate the access to piped water, as well as the access to improved sanitation facilities. I will also run quickly. The percentage of households with access to an improved source of water is currently at 88.5%. And the household access to water and sanitation services has stabilized over the last few years. And some of the what called data that we are using, we are also getting it from the Stats SA. Approximately one third, of which is 34.9% of the South African households, reported some dysfunctional water supply services in 2022. And I think we always see, even on the news, that the issue that is still there around the provision of access to water for all. The problems on water quality, including failing sanitation services, are in the main associated with failing infrastructure, and key amongst these issues are poor operations and maintenance of the water and waste water infrastructure. Next slide. In terms of the environment authorization and the ease of doing business, the water use licensing application, I think the previous speaker has already alluded on that we have seen a great improvement, where the whole process now, it takes plus minus 90 days, and the department has reported 100% efficiency on these water use license applications, and they've tried and worked hard towards clearing the backlog. Next slide. The water services infrastructure development. We are looking here on the inadequate performance on effective water management systems. We're looking at the number of dams Yes, the previous presenter also talked about the rehabilitation projects as well as the new dams. The number of dams rehabilitated projects are new that has been constructed. We are looking at the target is 9, and the performance is 2 dam safety rehabilitation projects that have been completed. That on quarter one, we're talking of Bloemhof Dam and Rietspruit Dam, which is both they are currently at 25%. The challenge is the progress has been affected by a poor performing of the contractor. I think the previous presenter also mentioned the issues on issues of procurement as well as the poor the poor project manager by management by the contractors. Out of the 52 projects implemented as a target, we have seen that Zanin has not commenced delays on the obtaining of the construction permit from the Department of Labor. Then the Glen William Dam construction is still at 12%, Zimvubu construction, access of the road is at 69%. The challenge is the delayed also by the procurement of materials. Next slide. Let me then, honorable members, take you through the water and sanitation entities in terms of the financial performance. If you see, this is the information for the year 2021 up to year 2022. I think from the previous presenter mentioned to say they are still now busy with this process. That is why as DPME, we are reporting the one of the previous financial year. When you look at the picture in terms of the entities, you would see the Overberg Water Board up until the last one. That the number one, the audit status, it was finalized. If we look just quickly on the first one, the Overberg, there they are red. As well as Amatole, they are also on red as well. This is just a summary showing and reflecting in terms of their performance, financial performance. That the others they are not a green. And also the comments I will not be going through because the AG has already touched on some of these issues. The next slide. This is also a heat map reflecting also the picture in terms of the entities. We will see that in terms of irregular expenditure, all of them, they are on red. All of them, they are on red. Then the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, you can see that some are red and some are green. This is just the picture. And then on the KPIs that have not been achieved, 15%, 1%, you can see, I think the information is the legend also down is also explaining in terms of that amber or yellow, it means it require minor intervention. Green, the entity does not need any intervention, but red, it requires urgent intervention. Next slide. The performance analysis of water and sanitation entities. Also now, this is more on analysis. The existence of permanent boards and executive management in particular in the position of the CEOs and the CFOs will go a long way in ensuring stability in governance and implementation of water projects in the sector. Although there was no improvement in audit outcomes of water board, there are concerns about the failure of municipalities to pay water boards. And just to note that the debt amount is actually increasing. As of today, the amount there is 16.7 billion that the municipalities are owing the water boards. This is a main concern that the municipalities are unable to pay the water boards due to a number of reasons. Other municipalities, they've got a challenge in terms of raising their revenues. The negativity impact on the liquidity and ability to implement capital projects such as investment in new water infrastructure and maintenance of existing ones. The zero tariff increase affected also the revenues of the entities. The scarce water resources, high rates of indigence and unemployment and aging infrastructure has put pressure on the entities to set tariffs that are affordable. Challenges were experienced which affected performance such as population growth and the emergence of new segments. Next slide. The key achievement, 98% achievement on completion of the bulk water and sanitation supply project which was meant to be implemented. The assessment of water service authorities on compliance with blue drop and green drop regulatory requirements also recorded as an achievement. The irrigation schemes that contribute to agricultural productivity, there are two that we have mentioned as the ones that they are actually up and running. Next slide. Although there is a good progress that we alluded to, there are still persistent challenges that we would like to highlight in this presentation. As with the energy crisis, water security in South Africa is a critical risk predicted to worsen in the coming decade. The performance provides an obscene picture of the country's water resources, water infrastructure, as well as the overall quality of its drinking water. Poor governance in water services authorities and water boards underspending on water-related budgets attributed to capacity constraints and mismanagement of funds. I've already alluded to the increasing debt that is increasing every year. The failure to adequately address strains on the country's water infrastructure has had disastrous consequences and demonstrated by the recent cholera outbreak in Tshwane. We all know and persisted water shortages in the Greater Giyani local municipality. The continued failure of water services authorities to compile implementation plans to address to blue and green drop results. Also, the previous presenter also mentioned this as a recommendation that the department needs to attend to it. The delays in the implementation of the bucket eradication program is mainly due to the lack of bulk infrastructure to connect to the waterborne sanitation. Due to rapid rural urban migration, new informal settlements are arising continuously, and the legislation does not allow for municipal investment in infrastructure development in informal settlements before they are formalized. Next slide. The water supply vulnerabilities. If you look at the graph on the right, it reflects the percentage distribution of households that reported water interruptions by metropolitan areas for the year 2022. You look at eThekwini is the highest with 61.2, followed by Nelson Mandela Bay, Mangaung 37, and you look at the what called the overall in terms of what called these metros at the Witter Red 23%. And in the past few months, many reservoirs remain at critical or low supply and increased interruptions of water supply, as well as it is evident that positive audit outcomes does not translate to effective service delivery. Next slide. The persistent challenges, delays which are associated with the water use license application, the excessive delays in the impact is that the excessive delays in the investment commitment, and this is actually stuck at the economic development. The unauthorized operations with unapproved EULAs may lead to unsustainable use of water resources. The areas vulnerable to land invasions and land grab due to the delays in the government authorization processes, and the water infrastructure development where dams are to be rehabilitated, capacity increments, new dams, they are actually affected if the EULAs process it takes longer than 90 days. Let's move to the next slide. The interventions to address the challenges in the water sector, sanitation department. The Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation held bilateral meetings with SALGA, DECOG to address the state of local government, including impact on infrastructure. On these bilaterals, the focus is on the dilapidation of infrastructure, underspending, dysfunctionality of water boards, inadequacy of local government funding model to ensure sustainability of services, especially in the rural municipalities, financial resources in municipality causing strain on the upkeep of the infrastructure. Another engagement as initiated by DPME, it was with a Rand Water Board to establish challenges and encountered by the institution and interventions necessary to address the challenges. DPME has collaborated with the Department of Health and DECOG, as well as Presidency, in the task team to address the cholera outbreak in Tshwane. Also, we continued as DPME to work with partners with National Disaster Management Center to monitor and support municipalities that have benefited from the disaster grants to build and restore water and sanitation infrastructure. There's been a number of oversight visits to check if the grant that was issued for repairing the road maintenances and the water related infrastructure has been used by those municipalities as per approved for those particular projects. We have gone to Limpopo, we've been in Eastern Cape and KZN. Then the evaluation of water boards, we think that it needs to be considered. Next slide. The recommendations which were previously presented to the Cabinet on Water and Sanitation Sector. As DPME, we did recommend to say the Department of Water and Sanitation has to accelerate institutional realignment through rationalization of water boards into regional utilities as options to unblock expansion of services. And we have seen that the department, they have done this, what called, they have implemented this recommendation. Also, the department has to ensure the submission of the National Sanitation Framework to Cabinet for approval to strengthen monitoring and compliance to the standard to improve sanitation services. Acceleration of the proposed bucket eradication plan by department has in order to ensure the completion of the bulk infrastructure facilities in the respective provinces, especially Free State and Northern Cape. We are actually following on this with the department. The department had to support the qualifying water services authorities to develop and implement municipal priority action plans to improve the quality of water services provision. It is further recommended that the WSA they use the plans to update the water services development plans and incorporate them into operational planning, including allocating dedicated resources for actions that contribute to poor performance in water services provision. The department is also what called attending on this, although the progress is still not that much. DPLE interventions through bilaterals, also other bilaterals include SALGA, the department, and the department on the water use licenses applications that increase efficiencies and in order to resolve the backlogs. And we've seen also this tool is also working. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you, Chair, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I give 10 minutes of your time, members, for you to streamline your questions and get them properly? That 10 minutes break, and then we continue. Is that in order? Members? Hello?
Do I hear yes, members?
They are on a strike.
That is in order, Chair.
Okay, let's take that. It is now, let me see. It is 10:42. We come back at 10:52. Get your questions properly and be ready to fire.
Thank you, Chair.
So. Are we back? If we are, Can I see hands on the platform, those who want to speak? There is the hand of Honorable Seki, Honorable Mutala. Honorable Sikwai. That's far.
I think they are back on a little.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry, it's me.
What do I say?
I'm asking, can I take all, can I speak now or you are still?
I was noting it.
Thank you.
Only the three start, Honorable Seki. That's fast.
I just have got 2 points. The first one is on AG. There's a point where AG was talking about a dam wall. That their comment was saying that the community there, and they are also finding that they were talking about the risk of that dam wall. So I can imagine, Chair, how many dam walls do we have risk on in the country? Can maybe they clarify the risk of this dam wall? Because all dams have got potential risk naturally. And I can imagine how many of those risks we have to look at. And then the last one is on the monitoring department. The monitoring department has highlighted the red on irregular expenditure. Red on all, as they were doing the presentation. Consequence, can the monitoring give us some advice on the consequences on this matter? Because, Chair, this is recurring, and we seem not to be able to resolve this matter. Is it capacity? If it's a capacity matter, let's know. If it's people are doing as they want, let's know. So that consequence management can be applied. Thank you very much.
No, thanks so much, Chairperson. All my questions are going to the Auditor General. AG, on page 16 to 19 of your detail, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, Honorable Mashiro now is causing problems for me. Because it's like you can't hear me. Yeah, on page 16 of the to 19 of your detailed briefing document sent to the portfolio committee, of concern are the start dates on the regional bulk infrastructure grant project. Start dates from 2013, 2014, and 2018. Overall, this amounts to cost overruns, and it appears as if the Department of Water and Sanitation revises or draft new budget and time frames. Could the AG provide examples of quantifying RBIC projects with concrete cost of start, date, and intermediary work before finalization of project. AG, for a department dealing with assets with a high value, it's rather a simplistic approach to financial accountability with having no updated asset management register. Water and sanitation infrastructure is at the core of the work of the department. And having a single important component of their work, is not updated, should have led to a harsher opinion on asset management, AG. So please assist us, what is happening there? Lastly, AG, funding constraints within the operations and maintenance unit is particularly worrying, as 36 billion is required in the maintenance and refurbishment of national water resource infrastructure with inadequate ring fencing of budget. If the current situation is so bad, how can and should, in your opinion, the department improve and turn around this? Thank you.
If we can switch off our mics when we speak, it will be better. I was not imitating you, Musala. There was a very bad echo when you speak because probably you might be using two gadgets. So I was simply asking you to switch off the other one in order for us to hear you alone, because the other one was irritating your speech.
So, but
Where do you?
Did the AG had us?
No, I think they did. But please switch off the other gadget.
Okay, thank you.
Mom, try.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. My questions, I will focus only on the GPME. Starting from the issue that GME has raised, I think it's on slide 17, where there's a huge irregular expenditure in entities. And the recommendation is that there is a need of an urgent intervention. I just want to ask a question from DPME that there should have been a program plan from each entity, which is then has to go down to the activity plan on how they do their business processing in terms of trying to achieve performance. I want to ask if DPME has managed to make that analysis. Is there such? What are the predicaments in those internal activity plan of the entities? Where is the problem? Is the program plans not precise, not clear? Why there's such in terms of their program towards performance? The second question, Chair, is on the slide 15, which speaks about the delays on the dams, the Tzaneen, Glen William, and the Mzimvubu. I also want to get a clarity, because I think the DPME raised an issue that, and when they do their work in terms of assessing performance, they get to the depth. I the in-depth of the problem. Now, more especially on Mzimvubu, I think the committee went to Mzimvubu. We were worried about what is the amount that is utilized for access road because we wanted the dam. It was then, and the expenditure was very low, and it has gone up now, but it has not arrived to a satisfactory program. What are the findings? Where is the real problem? I'm asking the same issue. Is it a lack of systematic issues? The systems of this department and those that are participating are not well coordinated to arrive, to achieve, to a good performance in these dams. And even the Klein William, we visited, but it's still on that particular process. What are the real findings? I know that DPMP has made an overall recommendation. Please, you must accept that we want to get to specifics in terms of these particular areas. The other area, Chair, is the issue of the improved access to basic services, which is, I think, is slide 11, if I'm correct. There's a very clear problem on the 1221 bucket sanitation. The same question, because what we want, the department is there to implement. Now, we want to get the in-depth analysis of DPME to get to the predicaments towards the achievement and the performance by the department so that you are able to make a correction that is well known and founded by the analysis of DPME. The other one, Chair, is the issue of the AMPAPS developed, which is 100%, but there's zero performance. What happened? What are the clear findings of the DPME in this? You see, because there are two competing elements towards performance. It's the program plan that is not precise. It is the activity plan that is not well coordinated, not systematic to get to the outcome and performance of that particular. We want to check so that we are able to know our fight. Where is our fight? Where must we fight as a department in terms of this performance? The last one, Chair, is it's only one. Yeah, please, I will appreciate.
Okay. Let's check Hendricks. Think a bit, come back. Mr. Hendricks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, it was very encouraging to see the progress made in the period that a comparison was made. I think it was comparing what's the situation now and maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I would have been very interested to hear about the progress made with regard to the number of disciplinary hearings and the number of cases that number of criminal cases and also how that has rolled out, whether the disciplinary hearings have been successful or not, and whether anyone has been jailed. And also to give the committee the comfort that there has been a dramatic decline in the need for disciplinary hearings and the laying of criminal charges, because that will give us a real indication of whether the looting and the unsavory behavior has changed. And we did hear from one of the presenters that the department is going out of its way to change behaviors, to change many of the officials and staff from having a criminal behavior to being professional staff. Having said that, I am sure that the auditors did a sample of the line items, and I would have liked to hear from them in that sample of the line items where they obviously made a thorough audit. What percentage of those line items they deem to be non-compliant, so that Chair, the committee can play more oversight in those departments that deal with those line items. As a committee, we need to know where they're stealing the money so that we can be more vigilant. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Well, Mom Stray, you are still looking at your questions. Let me just make one or two comments also. I know DPME, there is a big issue between the old Amatola and the new Amatola. What is your find? What is your view? Let me know finding. If there is finding, that's fine. When the amalgamated Amatola was given to us, there were questions raised of the status and the posture of the old Amatola vis-a-vis the theorized the new Amatola. And even in the report, it is showing a problematic stance. What is it that you are telling us about that Amatola thing? That's one. The other one is that, of course, you must appreciate that you are giving us factual information of what you found. But as Honorable Hendricks was asking, you are telling us, you are giving that answer, but very, 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 very smooth, that the consequence management is raised. You are generalizing that. In terms of, for instance, your entities, all our entities are spending money wrongly, all of them. They are late, all of them. Others, you are saying, for instance, the water treatment entity, the engineers have signed off work being done and paid for work that was not being done. And they have signed, the engineers have signed that this work has been done. And this work has not been done. But the money is also paid for the work that has not been done because the engineers have given the go-ahead to pay because the work is done. Honorable Hendricks is asking, what are the consequences? If any, why are there no consequences? If 27 million rand can be spent on projects that are not done or halfly done, but paid in full or in half there of when none is done, what are the consequences? You, of course, you must ask those questions most projects in the department, but the fact of the matter is that as you have been doing the monitoring, what are you suggesting it should happen? I should take a point that at least 88% of society have got water as compared to where we were in 1994. That's fine, very thankful. But we must also raise this concern that out of our own commitment, we committed to do 9 dams. We only did one. We committed to do 1,212 bucket allocations. We only did 592. And
And of course, I take point that it is as of March 2023. But doesn't matter even at that time. What are the consequences? Why is that? Is that the issue? And I think if we are not going to be bold on these issues, we will leave this parliament, the sixth parliament, with no answers to the questions we're committed to do. Yes, the buzzword is correct. All of you are saying there's progress, and we can see. We know there's progress, but we must be a little bit subtler on what you're saying. On the general, I mean, actually there are findings you are making, but these findings are findings that we think that the department must answer. But we are of the view that you will help us to recommend certain things out of these missteps. Your recommendations in the findings does not speak strongly on the wrongs being done by either the department or the entities themselves. And where is the issue? For instance, in Kiani, day before yesterday, there was a letter written. There was some problems. We went to Kiani more than twice, but there was a work stoppage in Kiani. Why is it? And if there is, and I know that your report is as of March last year, but surely you are not living in a country in a group where you are not listening to what is happening on a daily basis. Maybe but if you have not done it, it's fine. It is questions we can raise to the department, because it is not your responsibility really to react to situations consistently. Yours is to check whether the department is doing their work properly. But if you have got something to say, please do say so. But we must appreciate the fact that all of you, both the DPME and the Association of South Africa, you are telling us that as of 2019 to today, there is progress. We have moved from 179 million debt deficit. We are now left with 31. That's a very, very good progress. But 31 is still a lot of money not to be necessarily accounted for. But we hear you. And I think we will spare our questions very much for the department to answer on the findings you are making. If you have remembered your point before, I give back to the entities. Please do.
Yes, sir. I have managed to get just a simple question. The AG is saying the entities have improved in terms of their expenditure. They have improved. And the monitoring is saying they are zero. There's a need for intervention. Maybe maybe I didn't understand exactly what are they saying, both of them. Although they are different, but they seem to be speaking on one area of performance. The consequence management is slow. But I like the presentation that they've made that says the department has agreed that it does not have capacity. It is going to appoint an external audit team to augment the capacity. I think we like such proposals because they are specific on how best can we rescue the situation. Thank you, Chair.
Let's do it on the order of our presentation. We start with the Auditor General of South Africa, then we will then come to the DPME.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will start with the question on the dam wall, where we highlighted that we raised the material irregularity on the safety of the dam wall. Yeah. So this is basically coming from the dam safety reports that we actually reviewed. There is a dam safety report which was dated in 2010, and this dam safety report really formed the basis of increasing that dam wall, because the dam safety report indicated that there were certain deficiencies that were identified on the dam wall, and that the dam wall needed to be rehabilitated. Then the department actually then opted to increase the dam wall because there was a need for additional water. So in increasing the dam wall, they will also be covering the rehabilitation of the dam wall. So there was that report which indicated those deficiencies, which was in 2010. We also looked at another dam safety report, which was, I think it was in 2020. Again, that dam safety report in 2020, I think 10 years after that, the other one also indicated the same issues, to say there are deficiencies within that dam wall. And the dam safety reports, they also perform a dam safety assessment, a dam break analysis, to say if this dam wall breaks, it will then affect, I think it was about 350 residents within Glen William. And also, it also indicated that it may lead to a loss of about 2 billion from the farmers, wherein the farmers will suffer losses, wherein their farming activities will be wiped away. So those are that's where it's coming from. There are also other. We didn't perform an audit specifically focused on the dam safety, but what we've identified is that there are also other dam safety reports that we issued, wherein the recommendations have not yet been implemented of those dam safety reports. Then, if we can move on to the question on asset management, to say if we are identifying these issues on asset management and asset register, why do we then not have an adverse audit opinion? So, in terms of this, the issues that we are identifying there on the asset register, they don't necessarily affect the values that are included in the asset register. I think we have really been on a journey that we saw it bearing fruit. I think from the 2021-22 financial year, wherein in the past years we used to have issues with the asset register, wherein we identified that the cost, the values of the asset register were incorrect because of the incorrect assessment of the impairment of assets within the entity. So currently what we are identifying is that the conditions of the assets in the asset register are not correctly updated. So say maybe we select an asset for fiscal verification, and then when we go into the ground, we identify that this asset is actually in a poor condition, but it is then accounted for as in a fair condition. So then those are the issues that we are picking up. They don't necessarily affect the figures, but they affect how it's indicated, the condition is indicated in the asset register. Also, what we've identified is that on a yearly basis, when the department performs a physical verification, their own physical verification, they don't perform it on the entire population of the assets. They perform a risk-based analysis, to say they perform it on those assets that are risky, where they go in and perform the physical verification. So maybe it needs to be performed on the entire set on a yearly basis. So those are the issues that are there on asset management. So it doesn't really affect the values that are included there. That's why we don't have material findings in the values of the asset in the asset register. It's just the condition, the naming of the conditions of the assets on the asset register. Then, again, in terms of maybe just our recommendation in terms of how they can improve on maintenance, I think one will be the improving of conditional assessment of those assets to ensure that the assets are then physically verified and disclosed appropriately on the asset register. And also this will also then ensure that assets that are in poor conditions are identified timely and included in the maintenance plan of the department. The other recommendation would have is
the supervision, I think we've spoken about this, the supervision of or monitoring of contractors to ensure that the repair work that is being performed is appropriate. Again, also the delays that we've seen in the procurement of the goods and services that should be used for the repairs of infrastructure assets, there needs to then be an improvement in that process, because currently it takes a significant amount of time to procure for repairs of infrastructure. And if you look at the irregular expenditure that they have, majority of them is wherein they have emergency procurement for infrastructure assets, for repairs of infrastructure assets. However, that procurement is in the end delayed, so it's not even it was flagged as an emergency procurement. The procurement is, it ends up being delayed, which also then delays the repairs of the infrastructure assets. Again, also the budget for the repairs of infrastructure should be looked at, because when we look at the spend in the current year, they only spent 2% of the total asset balance, which is not sufficient if you look based on the nature of the infrastructure assets of the water trading entity. So the balance, the budget or that is allocated to the repairs of infrastructure should be really looked at, and management should consider increasing it so that they can cover a significant amount of the assets that they have in their books for repairs. Then I will move on to the question on the consequence management, specifically relating to the one way we said we raised a material irregularity on repairs work which were performed, some were not performed at all by payment we made, some were performed but they were not fully performed or to the necessary satisfaction of the department, wherein the department needed to come back and perform those repairs after the service provider had left. However, payment was made. So in terms of that specific case, what we have identified is that I think in June 2022, the department actually opened a case at the SAPS. So there is a case that is currently ongoing. There were internal investigation and also external investigations that were performed by the department, and also I think those investigations, they also then just confirmed that there are certain works which were performed. I think the total value of the potential loss there is 18 million. However, the investigation actually then requested management to go through the payments which were made and actually quantify to see what is the actual amount that needs to be recovered from the service provider. Also on that very same case, the case was also referred to the special investigating unit. There is a proclamation that is currently, the SIU is currently investigating this matter. I think that investigation at the end will also then quantify the amount of money that actually should be recovered. While the investigation is also ongoing, we did note that the entity also received legal advice on the matter. And in that legal advice, they are currently contemplating on whether should they refer the matter to the state attorney to already start recovering those funds, or should they wait for the investigation of the special investigating unit to be finalized. So in that specific case, there are actions that the department has taken to try and recover the losses that were incurred. Also, in terms of the controls, I must say that we have the accounting officer has committed to improve controls to ensure that this does not occur in the future, wherein they've indicated that they've allocated an area manager who would also then just supervise the engineers on the ground to ensure that they are not just signing off invoices where work is not performed. Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'll hand over to Jolene to take over to respond to some of the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Pandani. And thank you, Chair. If I may then continue with some of the questions.
I will start with the question that you had raised around Kiani Chair. You had indicated that our recommendations do not come out strong enough, and whether we had visited the Giani project. Chair, one of the members had also mentioned in the briefing document, pages 16 to 19, that is where we have detailed then the key projects that we had looked at and what was the findings that we had relating to that. As part of our audit process, we have selected a sample of projects that were significantly delayed. We started our audit work on that with the last financial year, and we continued with this financial year as well, just to assess the work that the department has been doing to ensure that they are completing these projects and that they are addressing the concerns that have been raised within these projects. In that briefing document, we have highlighted six projects that were significantly delayed, and that includes the Giani project as well. So we are concerned about these. This is the Masilanyana bulk water supply, Magalakwena bulk water supply, the Nebo water scheme, Mafeking South bulk water supply, Maribeng, and the two Giani projects as well. Chair, for us, Giani is also a significant concern. We have been keeping close to that. In terms of the two particular projects, we have also visited with management then these two projects, and we have raised findings in the management report as well, and we try to convey our findings in the briefing document as well. We are still keeping close to the Giani project. We continue to do additional work on that, and we're hoping that we can give you more detailed information on the work that we're doing when we are next invited to the committee meeting. But that work is still ongoing as we continue to look at the implementing agents and the next phase of the project as well. So we are currently looking at that as well. The information that you've seen in the presentation is a summary of what the root causes are that we've identified that management needs to address. Linking to that, there was a question from the member as well around the cost overruns. And we have provided detail around the reasons for why these projects are not being completed. There are various reasons, and essentially any project delay will result in cost overruns. We've identified that in some cases contractors may be terminated, their contracts might be terminated and a new one appointed, or there might be changes in implementing agents or variations of scope in some cases. But every time there is a renegotiation around these contracts, this eventually results in increasing costs. So increasing costs is a concern for us, although I note that the members noting that that is not particularly included in these slides, but that information can be provided if the committee so requires. I just wanted to add on to the feedback that Tendani had provided around consequence management, where he spoke to the material irregularities. In terms of the compliance audit that we do look at irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as allegations that may be made to staff within the organization. The PFMA requires that all instances of irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure must be investigated to determine, the reason for that and if anyone should be held responsible in terms of those investigations. When we looked at the compliance part of it, we had selected a sample, as the member had indicated, and we had identified in the case of irregular expenditure and allegations against officials in the department that those investigations were not always completed, and that is what resulted in the findings that we have in the audit report. We also noted similar issues at WTE and TCTA where these investigations were not undertaken, and that's what resulted in the finding. In terms of significance, so generally, if it's a deviation over 10%, we'd expect, you know, there's a reporting matter, but I think in order for it to be material, there have been several instances that we noted where the investigations were not done. The department, and as the member has also noted, the department has indicated that they will procure the necessary resources to help them to complete those investigations. And then lastly, Chair, there was a one of the members had asked a question around, you know, the fact that we are saying that certain entities have improved, which seems to contradict DPME. I just want to clarify that we had started off the presentation talking about audit outcomes. We noted an improvement from 2019-20 with WRC that has improved. We've noted some improvements around irregular expenditure and the recording thereof. But we have also spoken to the performance of the department against its performance indicators. And I think there we are in line with DPME as well, where we're saying that there are various indicators that have not yet been achieved. And it's important that the department focuses on these so that they can improve their performance against it. So when it comes to the performance planning and reporting matters, I think we on that area, we are aligned in terms of that. Thank you, Chair. I'll hand over back to you. Thanks.
Honorable Chair, can I come in from DPME?
I did unmute.
Can you get the, yeah?
May I come in from DPME?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Let me do the, oh my God. I'm using quite a number of screens. My face again, then I will switch off. As I've said, yes, my name is Marco Muchatsinde. As I introduced myself, I'm the DDG for sector monitoring. And then my major responsibilities, I've indicated, lies more on the, you know, the monitoring of the MTSF. I just want to say to the committee, because I can see the nature of the questions which are asked, that we do have a system monitoring department as well, which is specifically monitoring, you know, the SOEs and the entities. Today, we don't have a representative from, you know, that branch, and I believe that they could have, you know, provided a better responses than what I could do in terms of the entities. I like to say that...
What's the name of that entity, ma'am? Thank you.
Pardon? The name of the branch. The branch is Public Sector Monitoring and Capacity Development. So we've got two monitoring branches in DPME. One is Sector Monitoring. That's what the one which I'm the DDG for. And then we've got another one which is basically dealing with the matter of the you know, entities and SOEs. But as of this year, they have produced a framework on monitoring of SOEs and, you know, entities. There was a workshop which was took place around February with the quite a number of entities and SOEs which, you know, providing the, you know, you know, the guidance in terms of how from today onwards, you know, DPME is going to be monitoring, you know, the activities of various entities. So as you can see now, we also work together with we utilize the, also the information coming from the AG and also SAS and other institutions, as I've already indicated. And I can say that you know, looking at the template where you see the red in terms of regular expenditures, you can realize that now there is a plan of action as to how now, you know, programmatically DPME is going to be monitoring, you know, SOEs and entities going forward. I like the idea which came through as to, in the form of a question, whether there is a plan, you know, of action, you know, for of DPME, you know, to be able to really programmatically, you know, deal with each one of these entities. Then I thought, let me bring in to say that we do have this framework, it's a new framework, and it's going to be implemented or is being implemented right now. And that's why now we are able to cumulatively be able to talk about these entities. We've got more than 2,000 entities in our books, you know, as government, it's quite a lot. So you can see that these ones are just for the water, but we've got the spread is wide, you know, across all sectors. So that is one point. The second point which I want to raise as well is that in terms of what we do in terms of consequence management, and especially when we do follow-ups, you know, DPME at this point in time, we've got a bill, a planning bill, which is in the pipeline to yourself. And in Parliament, it's been there for a very long time. And that bill, if you know, it gives the DPME teeth. Right now, I could say we've got a fourth teeth. We are able to, you know, unlike AG, you know, ourselves, we've got we use the proximity to be able to deal with departments, but we've got no law or a bill which is giving us the rights and you know to and powers to be able to deal with everyone else. And I'm glad that the AG has covered ourselves in terms of you know the compliance matters in terms of consequence management and so on. But we are putting an eye on those. You know, because the resources of government has to be utilized in the way they're supposed to be utilized. If they are not, then you automatically see performance of department and performance of the sectors when you talk to where I am, you know, suffering because money is not utilized, you know, the way it's supposed to be utilized. I really, so in terms of the, you know, our processes, as well from the MTSF point of view, we also, and also the public sector monitoring, they've got frontline monitoring. I also do the case studies. So, you know, this kind of forums, they give us an indication of where can we, you know, and when we go forward, can we be able to focus? Because we do our own, it's a small team, as I've said, and then we do our own sampling, and based on what we see, but if there is a particular, you know, entity you want us to look at, for example, there was a mention of Imbubu Dam and Amatola Dam, there was a mention of Giani Project. So for me, it gives me an idea that next time when I'm doing the case study, you know, I must now go and look at the in-depth analysis of those areas, you know, as to what are the issues there and then what are the predicaments. I love that question, you know, the in-depth analysis. We do have, with us, I hope you received it. I've also distributed our MCSF report. So if you go to the chapter, which we have already outlined that chapter 2 is on economy and chapter 5 is on social development and this water and sanitation, you know, you will find a lot of issues which we've addressed here in our report in that chapter 5. And when it comes to infrastructure element of it, you will find it in chapter 2 where we've got the infrastructure element of our reporting process. So I ask that a full report of our last 6 months of an MTSF be distributed, and we do have that information available. And anytime when you need additional information in terms of in-depth analysis, you know, if you give us a call, we will definitely be able to assist, and so that your oversight work can be done, you know, effectively and efficiently. We shouldn't be waiting for the end of the financial year. So that is something which I would like to give to the in assurance to the committee that we really want to work together, you know, especially as from monitoring, because monitoring is throughout, it's continuous process that any time then we can be able to assist you with the information that you need. And I'm going to give time to the expert in the area. I'm just the manager in that area. I've got the chief director, acting chief director, who presented, and her team, who can further give us an insight into some of the questions which have been asked. I wanted to broadly bring those, you know, three aspects of what you know we can you know provide, or what is happening around these issues and the processes which we are using. Thank you very much. Kipiwe, please take it from here.
Good morning again, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Some of the questions have been tackled by the DDG. I will just add there and then. I'm going to link the question on the red, which talks to the expenditure of the entities, and link from Honorable Seki and Honorable Maswai with regard also to that question. Also relating to the consequent workers management. In a nutshell, the entities, they are also accountable in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. As a DPME, we produce what I've indicated or reflected in the slide. And in terms of the processes of this, REDS, in terms of the the expenditure, we then present these findings to the forum of the Director General. Then also the information is being also presented to Parliament. Then the entities, they are then called by the scoper to come and account on the expenditure irregularities, like any other entity within the government. So the scoper, they are the ones who take this process in terms of the consequent management, as well as they are supposed to respond. They are also at the same time being managed by the boards of the entities. I just wanted to clarify to say SCOPA, they take this process according to their mandate. Moving on to Honorable Maswai, to understand the program plan for each entity. Yes, these entities, they do develop their plans that are being monitored by their board, as well as the Department of Water and Sanitation. The delays in the dams, construction of the dams, there are a number of reasons. I think AG has already alluded to, but I can just confirm to say the delays, it's more caused by procurement, project management, and other issues of also the construction mafias, as well as in other instances, you'll find also the lack of skills. But the main delay there is actually on the development or construction of the infrastructure. So in the country, we do have a challenge when it comes to infrastructure in terms of construction as well as maintenance. So that is the in-depth analysis that we can provide. Yes, systematic issues, yeah, they would actually relate to the procurement processes that we need what call to follow. Yes, we can what call link that to the systematic issues. Then access to basic services in terms of the bucket eradication. The main challenge is also on the construction of the bulk infrastructure. This is what called a challenge that contributes to the delay or slow process of the eradication of the bucket systems. On the contradictory what called performance, I think what called the presenter from the AG has what called indicated that yes, we are all managing or monitoring the performance of what called the department. In some what called instances, we do what called we monitor the indicators that they are being what called implemented, of which in terms of the project management, yes, they're supposed to see progress. We may not sometimes see what called or the what called the delivery what called output what called on the ground, because you first work on the what called the project. The initial stages might not see the actual output of that particular project. I think the question on by Honorable Hendricks on progress made on criminal what called cases and seeing the those at fault being what called jailed and disciplinary hearings, that will be what called I think it's it will be better answered by what called the AG. On the issue of Giani, AG has alluded perfectly on that, of which the last also from our Honorable Chair with regard to Amadola, old and new, as what call a DPME, we will what call get to this what call a issue. But at the moment, we could not what call give input what call on that. But we will what call check and to say what is the current status and the main issues around that problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Anyone want to add something? Okay.
Yes, Chair.
Coming.
I'm following on the introduction of DPME's role. The DPME's role, for me, it's totally different from others. I see is where the buck stops in terms of looking on the performance. The department has got managers with skills to do the work. By virtue of a lot of work, some processes, they fall away, and there comes Treasury, there comes AG,
there comes boards and others. DPME, in terms of their introduction, they presented to us to say, in their theory-based approach, they get to the detail, the in-depth analysis of where the entities, a certain entity didn't perform well. Where is the problem? And they start from that program plan and the activity plan, which is the business process of the entity. How are you doing your work, which makes you to perform or not to perform? So I just want to clarify to the lady who just spoken that we have got high hopes about, in terms of the introduction that you've made, that you'll be able to get to Glen William Dam. Why, from the past years, it's still where it is, Mzimvubu? Why you get to the depth of the analysis? You pinpoint the technical issues of the activity plan. How are they doing their work, those that are working? So as you are presenting, you presenting as if it's department. We want to leave the department out and come to you with your expertise and your help to tell us why things are like this, why there is no performance. I just wanted to clarify that, Chair. Thank you very much.
You must start by saying if your view is that the TPME must behave that way. What they must say, not necessarily what you are saying, but this is how they are working. Up until your view is contested, you are adamant that this is how you expect them to work. Whether it yes. is how they must work, let them say so.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Sorry for my grammar. Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to say that's my view.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I think SNNC is almost close to my issue as well. Because, Chair, if DME says, on my side is the HG, sorry.
Okay.
On the same dam that SNNC is talking about the risk analysis that was done in 2010 and the years after. And that risk is still there even today. I think, Chair, it's a matter of concern. And I would propose that probably, I don't know on the minutes on how you can advise, Chair, that with the department, the committee must engage the department. The department is here, is listening. Can engage the department in terms of that report and how do we move forward. Because if anything happens, Chair, on the risk analysis that was done 13 years ago, and then when things happen, we'll be told, no, God, Mar, we told you, and you did nothing. That's my, Chair, it's actually not a question necessarily, but it's an indictment on us and the department to follow up what the AG has said. Thank you.
That concern and question is relevant to the department. At the time when the department is, today department will not comment. Remember, they are not here. They are here because they want to hear. So they will come when this report is presented, because we are supposed to present this report to the parliament. The department must answer that question. A very good question. If consistently a matter is raised perpetually, it doesn't change. Why? What is it that you want us to take you for? They will answer that question. You must never leave that question, but it's an important question. But if it is not answered, it is where the DPME, the AGSA, will say to us, we have been raising this issue in the portfolio committee with yourselves. What is it that you did? They will ask us. So it's important. I'm sorry. It's important we do. Masala?
Yeah, this one is for, I just want to follow up on DPMA. The DPME officials killed in monitoring and evaluating the water and sanitation across the water value chain with an understanding of financial challenges. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay. DPME and any one of you who want to answer those questions, please?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Which question should I ask, the first one or the second one? Let me do both. In terms of, the one for whether we can give you, the go through the process, business processes and so on and find where the problem is. One of the other things which we do in my unit, for example, because we cannot analyze everything because of the challenge of capacity, we also do what we call them deep dive exercises on a particular problem which has been raised. And then this is one of those things which we can actually do for the committee if you want to know more about the Clan Williams Dam and the Imsimbubu, and then we will work together with the branch which is the responsible for working on the entities themselves. So together we can be able to give you that kind of an in-depth report. We do have those skills, and the capabilities. We may not have sufficient capacities. So in terms of whether DPME is skilled enough to monitor the water and sanitation, including the challenges with regard to financial finances, yes, we do. The only challenge which we have, which I've raised from the beginning, is that we don't have numbers. So this team which I'm having here is the team, and that is all what I have. So it's very few people, and we've got a lot of work to do. But in terms of the skills, the skill is there. The capability is there. The capacity, that is where now we've got a challenge. DPME is very small, and it doesn't have that huge capacity, to do what we would love to do, to do almost everything. So specifically, that's why we need now to choose the areas where we believe that we become more impactful, within the theory of change, which you've talked about, and then based on the result-based monitoring and evaluation, methodology which we are using, or the approach which we are using, that they call it a result-based management approach now, which we are using. We do have the skills, the capabilities, and the capacity. And what the capacities in terms of numbers is what we don't have. But to do the work, we'll do it perfectly well. I would also want to say, when I still have the chair, that we've got also the, in terms of the local government, we've got a tool called the LGMIM, which also is able to determine, and we've been using it to look at the capacity and capabilities of the local, the local authorities, which we also want to make use of that tool, to various other sectors, including some of these entities, to apply that tool to see, if is it about the management practices that make them fail. Is it about the capacity? Is it about the capabilities? Because we've been doing that with all the municipalities which we are monitoring together with TCOG. Thank you very much, Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you.
Hey, is there anything you want to say before we close?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. No, nothing else to add on our side. I think the rest of the questions are for management of the water and sanitation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The following item, municipal.
Adoption of the community program.
Can it display that? You're skipping very fast. Go to the beginning. There we are, members. The program starts on the 10th of October.
You're not supposed to thank and release the AGSA and DPME.
I am to come to that point just now.
Okay.
I'm saying look at the program. It is there. In the meantime, I don't want to release them. I want to thank them for being in the meeting. If they still want to be part of us, I can't just chase them away. Unless they've got other commitments. But thank you very much, Auditor General of South Africa, and also the DPME for the insightful information that you gave to us. Against the backdrop of what you said, I think we are better people to can engage the department moving forward. And if you so wish that at some point you might want to go for other commitments, I think we will be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. But also, if you are going to stay and be part of us, you can if you want to. We are not going to be very jealous, but you must not listen to any other things. You are part of the broader parliament or government of North Africa, so you can stay. But thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you for the opportunity.
From the AC, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We are now on the program of the committee. The 10th, which is today, we have already done that. We are still going to come back at 2. To deal with the Department of Water and Sanitation and also the briefing by the TCTA. On the 17th, we have got a meeting, the finalization of the BRRR. On the 24th, we also have a meeting between 9 and 1, the BPR again. On the 31st, we've got a meeting, all of them virtual. On the 7th, we've got a meeting. On the 14th, we have a meeting. On the 17th, we do. 21st, we do. 24th, we do. The 28th of November, we do. That's the program of the term. Is that our last meeting on the 28th? And people?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. There's the program, members. Can I hear somebody moving and adopting the program?
Chair?
Yeah.
I move the adoption of the program as read.
Thanks, Mom Nancy.
Moshala seconds, Chair.
Chair, Matuba seconds.
Yeah. Okay. Umshala angeka second ukuthi usamele kuwina ama vote azokwazi ukubiza to remove all the ambassadors and everybody in the world.
Angeka ibone leyo.
Uzasebhizi ulwela ukuwina amavoti anyana amabili azokwazi ukwenza leya nto. Thank you very much. The program is adopted, and in the absence of Ed, thank you very much for the meeting. And I think we were too economic for our time. If we can do that in the next coming meeting at 2, we might also have a shorter version of the time. We are supposed to be in a meeting between 2 and 6. But I'm sure we can finish earlier than as we did now. We have finished earlier than expected at the time. Maybe let's try that also. We still have got 2 hours to can go, but we are finished. So we can do that in the other meeting also. Well done, colleagues. For
Chairman, Judith is leading the delegation. In MBZ, I'm a problem. I'm on the road actually right now.
Yeah, but as long as the department is represented, it's okay. It's okay.
No, Comrade Judy is leading politically.
Okay.
No, still have a leadership.
Thank you very much. Thanks, members. Let's take a good rest and come back at 2. Thank you very much.
Chairperson?
Good afternoon. Are people in the meeting?
Yes, Chairperson, waiting for you.
I don't understand the portal. The portal is showing the parliament. Is that your personalized thing? Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the meeting. Afternoon. I know that we had a meeting earlier on and we were preparing ourselves for this coming one. I assume that we took a little bit of a refreshment for this meeting. We must be ready. Everybody is welcome. Can you observe a moment of silence for mediation and for prayer? Thank you very much. We are all welcome into the meeting. Apologies.
Yes, Chairperson. Oh, Mama Swari tells I'll join a little bit later. She's traveling. I don't know from where. Oh, Mr. Gay, you know. Oh, Naguma Muslai just joined the meeting. Oh, Mr. Gay, you know, Moss is traveling on Parliament business to India. So she said she might travel join when she's at our time. Oh, she might not have time to join, but she's traveling on business to India.
Okay.
Chairperson, on our side, as a ministry, Minister Mthunyong has apologized for joining us later. He is stuck in another meeting, but I'm here. I had already apologized earlier, later on after 4, I need to get into a community meeting. By that time, our minister will be here. Thank you.
Now, I know there was a request by the ministry that we need to start with TCTA because the minister wants to be part of the meeting when the presentation of the ministry is present. What
now we can, we're starting with item number 4, the department.
Can we start with item number 4?
Yeah, we're starting with 4 while I'm here.
Yeah, because there was a request that we start with item number 5. So if you say that, it's 5.
No, no, no. I'm saying we're starting with item number 4. Myself, I would lead, supported by the DG, who's going to make the presentation because it covers the other two entities, Water Research Commission and CCTA, before we take CCTA.
Okay. Do you hear that, people? Okay. Let's start with item number 4 then.
No, thank you very much, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair Mashifa, the member of the
Chairperson.
Who is speaking?
It's Siswayi. I want to make a correction. I didn't make an apology. The apology was from DM Shabalala, who will join us at 3. He's on the flight. Sorry for that confusion. Thank you, Chair.
I will tell you when the DM Shabalala apologize.
She sent the apology to Mamuseki and it in Mamuseki Namchanji and then Kendai Tumela Unosipo. I sent it to Nosipo. That's why Nosipo thought it's me who's apologizing. Sorry for that, Chair.
Okay. No, I understand.
Power is power, Che. Power is power.
Okay. Thank you. My apologies.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I must convey our sincere gratitude and thanks on behalf of the minister that we are here to account on the performance of the department financial year 2022 2023. And we are very pleased that in the morning we had an opportunity to join you for observation purposes around the institutions that we work with them, the Office of the Auditor General for South Africa, that we have worked well under the leadership of the DG and the team, and also the Office of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. We are very pleased to say that now we are towards the end of the term of this parliamentary parliament. And the time we started working together, a number of challenges were experienced in the department on issues of liquidity, rampant corruption, malfeasance, and issues of the collapse of the entire system. And in your own engagement, Chair, after the Minister Mthunyong has stabilized the administration, having a very competent DG and a team, we can start to see the stabilization in the organization, firstly around issues of financial management, as the DG will take you through those particular components, and how we've implemented our commitment in terms of the financial recovery plan. In as much as we are not out of the woods, but we can confidently say that if we're a company, we couldn't be declared insolvent. And the number of concomitant actions that we have taken. At the very same time, when it comes to non-financial information, there's been a lot of improved performance around the coordination of the sector, providing leadership into the sector, but more importantly, in achieving our mandate to ensure that water is provided to all South Africans, because it is their right to have access to water. In as much as the department will be the first to admit that there are still more that we need to do to reach those that we have not reached, but at the very same time to cover those that have been declined. And there have been a lot of interventions around Minister Mthuli to stabilize the sector, from working with other partners in local government, including our own institution. Therefore, we are pleased, Chair, to say through you and the support and the guidance of God from the Pokuno Committee, because without your own constructive criticism being on the ground, we will not have been in a position to up our game. There are still areas of improvement, but as a ministry, we are very content about the performance of the department, because even on non-financial performance information, we are very pleased that we are more than 80%, if my numbers are not incorrect, but also in terms of financial performance, we have improved the expenditure in our own organization. I will then, with your permission, allow on behalf of the department, Dr. Sean Phillips, as the accounting officer of the department, to make the presentation around our financial, our annual report for vote 41 that ended in this year in March. Thank you, Dr. Phillips.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Good afternoon, Chairperson and Honourable Members. As usual, I'm going to present one or two introductory slides, and then I'm going to hand over to our Head of Performance Monitoring and Planning in the Department, Babawa Manyakanyaka, and then I'm going to and she's then going to hand over to the Chief Financial Officer of the Department, Frans Moachi, to take us through the financial aspects of the annual report. So just an introduction, we've just on this slide highlighted some of the achievements that we made during the that particular financial year. The Nandorni and Sami pipeline project reached practical completion to supplement water supply availability to communities in Giani. The Hazelmere Dam project was also completed last financial year. The department continued to implement the financial recovery plan and improve its financial management. And as previously indicated to the portfolio committee, the implementation of this financial recovery plan continues to result in much reduced irregular expenditure in the department. We also have developed a revenue enhancement strategy and standard operating procedures for credit control for our water trading entity and the water boards to improve the revenue collection across the water sector, as one of the key things that we're worried about is the risks to the financial sustainability of the water sector as a result of non-payment by municipalities to water boards. We also established the Water Partnerships Office together with the Development Bank and SALGA to provide support to municipalities to put in place a much higher level of private sector investment in municipal water and sanitation infrastructure in the context of great financial shortages at municipal level and in the fiscus, to provide the funding required to address all the investment needs at municipal level. So for example, the Water Partnerships Office has developed a standard non-revenue water program. Non-revenue water, addressing non-revenue water is one of the key areas where there's potential for mobilizing private sector finance, because the private sector can allocate large amounts of money to do very expensive work like replacing old pipelines that are leaking. And then they can get a return on that investment through the increased revenue that will come to municipalities. and the reduced non-revenue water. So at the moment, the CEO of the Water Partnerships Office has been appointed, and they're busy recruiting the rest of the staff. A business plan has been developed for it, and standard programs have been developed, and they are busy talking to a number of municipalities about starting the process of putting in place these projects to increase private sector participation. The aim here is not privatization of water in any way. It's about mobilizing the considerable amount of funds which are available in the banks and the pension funds to invest in the water sector at municipal level, given the shortage of money in the fiscus for such investments. We've also made progress in terms of improving the efficiency of our large construction unit, which should help us to deliver projects more timeously. And that's starting to bear fruit. We started it in the previous financial year. We're still implementing it, but we can see that it's starting to bear fruit, although there's still more work that is required. Similarly, to improve our performance on the projects that we implement as the department, particularly through our construction unit, we put in place last financial year an infrastructure procurement strategy in line with Construction Industry Development Board guidelines and National Treasury guidelines, which enables us to do our infrastructure procurement much more smartly and efficiently. We've improved that last financial year, and we're now implementing it. We've awarded a few, in the process of processing and awarding quite a few more multi-year contracts to enable us to procure much more quickly and efficiently for our construction unit, which should improve our performance on the ground in terms of implementing projects. Next slide, please. So with that short introduction, I'd like to hand over to Babawa to take us through the performance information in the report. Babawa.
Thank you, DG. Good afternoon to the DM, the members of the portfolio committee, my colleagues on the platform. If you look at that slide, the DM had indicated there is an improvement compared to the previous financial year in terms of the financial and non-financial performance. So this is just a slide that indicates that a 6% improvement on the non-financial part and also 9% improvement on the financial performance. If you go to slide 7, this is a reflection of the department's overall performance in terms of the program. You see also there is an improvement in the first and second program, which is significant, and also the slight regression in the PEP program, but still at the 70% achievement for the financial year. Next slide, which is slide 8. This is just the department's progress in terms of implementing the 2022 preferential procurement. This is an indication that the department procured 51% of the department's procurement budget from SMMEs. We had a target of 30%. Also, if we disaggregate those SMMEs to be exempted micro enterprises and qualifying small enterprises, we achieved also those targets and exceeded them for the current financial year under review. If we then go to slide 9, which is a disaggregation of designated groups, talking to Black-owned companies, women-owned companies, youth-owned companies, and persons with disabilities, companies with 50% and above ownership. That slide indicates that 62% of our procurement went to Black-owned companies, 23% is for women, 6% for youth, and 2% for persons with disabilities, and we've included the amounts associated to those procurement there. We are also highlighting that despite the limitations of our ability to set aside or even target, particularly in these designated groups, we've managed to procure from those designated groups for the year in question. Then we are going to go into details of program performance to slide 11. There, that slide indicates that also, if you look at in terms of financial management, you're comparing it to the previous financial year, there's a slight improvement there, and all the other programs are the same as they performed compared to the previous financial year. Slide 12 is just the high level achievements per program, and you allow me to go to slide 13, which is an indication of the areas of partial and non-achievement. This is just to indicate that we did not, we could not be able to complete our risk maturity, and also our vacancy rate for engineers and scientists increased. But we have also included that we're planning to finalize this risk maturity assessment in this 2023 financial year. And also the vacancy rate is planned to be improved because the posts were advertised and we are in the process of filling them. Then if you look at this slide, which is talking to the financial management issues, the CFO will deal in detail on that. So if you allow me, I will go to the second program, which is water resources management, where there is an improvement in several of the sub-programs in that space, that you see that three of them achieved 100% of what they had planned for the financial year. And slide 16 and 17 is an indication of the high-level achievements that are detailed in the annual report, but I will just concentrate on the areas of partial achievements, which are on slide 18, which is talking to policy and strategy issues of submitting the Water Amendment Bill to Cabinet and also getting the NWRS3 approval from Cabinet. Those were not met by the end of the financial year, but however, subsequent to that, we have received the endorsement from the clusters to submit the bill to Cabinet, and also now the third edition of the Water Resources Strategy has been approved by Cabinet for implementation. If you then go to slide 19, which is talking to our Water Resources Infrastructure Management Built Program, several of these slides are indicating the challenges we've experienced in that build program, which talk to procurement issues, and it talks to delays, several in that one. Slide 20 is talking to that one. Slide 19 is talking to that one. Slide 20 is also re-emphasizing our operations and maintenance program, which is still part of that, also affected by the procurement issues. Some of the issues are relating to contractor performance and also some are climatic issues that affected it. Then that last slide is also indicating our delays within our dam safety rehabilitation, but I would want the honorable members to look at our strategy to overcome the areas of underperformance. The DG has mentioned that we have adopted the new procurement strategy, which will assist us in accelerating the implementation of these infrastructure projects. That's one of the areas that we're going to focus on. Also, in terms of increasing our capacity, we are sourcing graduate trainees from the Learning Academy to assist with some of the engineering work that is required. Also, for contractors that are not performing, that slide indicates that we have put them on notice. And if the underperformance continues, we will then intervene and make sure that there is a contractors that assist them in that performance. And also within our construction space, which is assisting us with the dam safety rehabilitation, there's that construction efficiency enhancement strategy, which is a plan to assist the construction in efficiently implementing their projects. Then if you go to slide 22, which is the regulation space, we managed to finalize 62% of the applications within the 90-day period, and this is as a result that we still have not been able to finalize link to that first slide that is talking to the vacancy rate, and we have advertised and we're planning to fill these ones, and we will increase our capacity in that space. And so that is the issue. Also, what I want to indicate is that we are also updating our regulation space to make sure that we clarify our reporting framework to be not on calendar days, but rather on working days. So that regulation is up for public consultation. If you look at institutional oversight in terms of the bill, at the end of the financial year, we had not been able to achieve, but the honorable members will recall that during the September month, we have subsequently introduced the bill to Parliament for public consultation. Then we're going to the third program. On that slide, I'd like to indicate that there's an improvement, particularly in the water services and local management performance during this financial year. And all the other programs also achieved at least above 50% and above. And the one area that did not achieve is on policy and strategy. So if you look at slide 25, this is just the high-level achievements for the sub-programs within the water and water services management space. But if you go to slide 26, this slide indicates the number of multi-year bulk infrastructure projects that we had under construction, which was a total of 100, and we've disaggregated them per province. Within the Gauteng space, this is just to indicate that there were plans to start at least four, and we managed to start one. Limpopo and Mpumalanga, our plans that we should have completed at least one project in Limpopo and four in Mpumalanga, but we managed to do two and none in Limpopo. So that is the total number of projects. It's 11 within the regional park infrastructure space. For the water services infrastructure grant, we managed to increase our support of projects within the municipal space compared to the previous financial year by 48 projects that were supported. And then also this year, the intervention within municipalities, that the second one, which is in Limpopo, is talking to the Gian that the DG mentioned in his opening remarks. If you then go to slide 27, this is just the details of the projects that were not under construction, as I'd mentioned before, within the regional bulk infrastructure space. Slide 28 is talking to the projects that should have been completed within the regional bulk infrastructure space. We've included them there, but also as a strategy to improve our performance this financial year, we are planning to enforce that the municipalities, they should appoint contractors on time, and our oversight will also be strengthened. Then if you go to slide 29, which is talking to the water and sanitation services space, and it talks to our inability to publish the no-drop program and also the finalization of the district reliability municipality, district municipality plan as planned. However, the no-drop is aligned now with the green and the blue drop programs, so that should be on track in terms of appointing of additional capacity, and also it is an enhancement of the procurement space that will also fast track our ability to finalize this district municipality plan. Slide 30, which is talking to the completion of the water services infrastructure grant, I had mentioned this, that there have been challenges in contractor appointments in the municipal space. So it's still the same thing. But also in terms of bucket eradication, there were several challenges, which include several of the issues that are included there. But the department has now developed an acceleration plan to make sure that the systems are functioning and completed by the end of this coming financial year. If you look at the policy as well, in terms of the water services amendment bill, work is underway to ensure that there is a licensing of water services providers to give the department some teeth in terms of the implications of these water services providers. And also, if you look at the blue drop, it is planned to be published by sometime this 2023-2024 financial year. That is my last slide. Thank you, DG. I will hand over to the CFO.
Thank you very much. And good afternoon to the Chairperson, Portfolio Committee, DM, DG and colleagues. Chairperson, I'll be presenting the financial performance of the department as well as summary of the financial recovery plan. Starting with the spending, in the previous financial year, the department spent 85.7% of its budget, and in the 22-23 financial year, which we are reporting on today, the expenditure increased to 95.4%. Notably, Chairperson, the underspending is mainly on the water services management. If we reflect on the program spending, administration spent 98%, water resource management 99%. It also includes transfers that we are making to the water trading entity. The various reasons why we have underspent, and those are covered in the next slide. In the main Chairperson, I will talk to the economic classifications of this underspending, starting first with compensation of employees, where we have underspent by 23 million. We have put together a list of critical posts that we are filling. This is due to budget cuts that have been applied throughout government. So we have to make sure that we do not overspend in the MTF period. The other reason for the underspending relates to goods and services. At the end of the financial year, we had some challenges with the financial systems when we had to process some of our payments, mainly the regions which were affected are the following, the Eastern Cape, as well as the KwaZulu-Natal, in respect of invoices that were paying for the disaster interventions. I can also confirm that those invoices were subsequently paid during the month of April and are reported in the 23-24 financial year. As indicated earlier on, the significant underspending is on water services management branch. That relates to the work that we are doing under the regional bulk infrastructure grant as well as the water services infrastructure grant. We have put together, as indicated earlier on during the performance information presentation, the recovery plans and work that we are doing with the implementing agents, which includes the municipalities as well as the water board. I must also confirm, Chairperson, that all the money that we haven't spent on the grants, we did commit at year end with the municipalities, and we have applied for all over to National Treasury. The next slide is a summary of what is contained in the statement of financial performance and position in the annual report. These are the key items that we are highlighting today. The bank balance, as we are aware that we have had history previously of challenges around bank overdraft. So that has been dealt with. The other key item here is the contingent assets, which relates to the cases, the significant cases on the Guyana Water project, as well as one claim related to financial services firm. Those cases are before the High Court in the two respective provinces. Another key item on this financial highlights relates to accruals and payables. We have had also previously a challenge around settlement of these liabilities, but I can confirm that most of our accruals and payables are current, so we are able to honor our obligations as they become payable. And then commitments, as well as indicated earlier on in the previous presentation, that we have accelerated our procurement, including the work that is done by the municipalities in terms of procurement on behalf of the department, where we have appointed the MEST implementing agent. That is illustrated by the commitments, which have increased from 6 billion to 9 billion in the 22-23 financial year. Another key item relates to contingent liabilities. The ones that relates to the 10 billion then. Those are the government guarantees that we have. They include also TCTA, which will be covered by my colleague from TCTA. Unauthorized expenditure, there hasn't been any since the previous 4 or so years. And we are also reflecting the cumulative balance there. This balance, I can confirm that we have made submissions to SCOPA, and Parliament is still considering our application for condonation of the unauthorized expenditure. Similarly, on the irregular expenditure, we have seen a significant decrease there. The balances that we are still reflecting as 8.9, those are the balances that we are currently busy with. Some are at the investigation stages, some with police, SIU, and also departmental investigations. I'll move to slide number 36, also a summary on the WTE. Also, as indicated earlier on, that the bank balance has been an issue that we shouldn't be having a paymaster general account that is overdrawn. We have maintained those positive balances. We're also reporting our non-current assets that have increased to 95 billion. That includes both the property, plant and equipment, including our intangible assets in respect of Lesotho Highlands project, as well as the Komati Water Basin Authority. So those are the amounts that are making up a significant portion of the non-current assets. Trade receivables, DG also mentioned the work that we are doing to try and recover and stabilize some of the challenges that we are having with the collection of debt. We chose the 21-22 at 24 billion. We are now at the reporting period 25 billion. There have been payments where the municipalities are honoring some of their current accounts, but we have also put together incentive schemes where our users are encouraged to settle their accounts, and if they meet the conditions that we have set, we are able to waive the interest. And we have also appointed debt collectors who are assisting us with the debt collection. We are continuing as well working with the National Treasury, COCTA, as part of our intergovernmental relations and engagements. The TCTA loans, my colleague from TCTA will be talking to those. We are disclosing that on the WTE side, but she will talk to some of the aspects related to those loans when she will be presenting on TCTA. Slide number 37 is a summary of the rollovers that we have applied to National Treasury, in total 722 million. They include the Giani Water Services project, those villages that we are currently busy with reticulation, and also the bucket eradication program. And we also included those invoices that have indicated that they could not be processed due to systems errors, requesting Treasury to roll over those funds. But to make sure that those projects are not delayed, we did in the current financial year reprioritize our budget to ensure continuity on those projects. Slide number 38 is a summary of the earmarked specifically and exclusively appropriated infrastructure projects. Then both the RB, WISIC, were also reflecting on the transfers that have been made to the various water boards for projects that they are implementing. We also transferred funds to Mahalis as well as Bloom Now Val Central during the disestablishment of CDBN Water to assist with some of the disestablishment costs. And we have also Ungen Water there, as well as CDBN Water Now Val Central, the one that was absorbed within the Bloom. Okay, then we can move to the next slide. The president, is a continuation of the grant, just rearranging the expenditure that we are presenting today. So it's still the earmarked funds that we have, also the water trading entity, where we have key projects, including the acid mine drainage, other capital projects, as well as the contribution for operations and maintenance. Those are our proto CMAs, which are currently being financed through the water trading entity. We have also transfers to Komati Water Basin Authority for the work that we are doing with Eswatini. Then also number 40, this is to reflect that we have transferred all the approved and conditional grants to local government. That's just presenting all the transfers we have made. And we are also following up through our monthly and quarterly performance reviews on the performance of these transfers that have been made to the various municipalities in collaboration with National Treasury. Then number 41, the person is the performance of all the provinces where we have spent money under the regional bulk infrastructure grant. Eastern Cape, there we had some challenges with procurement, which was subsequently resolved with appointment of contractors. And I can confirm that in the current financial year, those contractors have taken site and there is work on the ground. Bucket eradication, as we have indicated, there are recovery plans to deal with challenges that we have identified, which were captured in the earlier presentation. And similarly with housing, the river intervention project, we are working with rainwater there. There were some projects that delayed then, but they have recovered in the current financial year, and rainwater managed to appoint a number of contractors and contracting engineers who are busy with the river intervention. The water services infrastructure grant process number 42, if it wasn't for those two provinces which had challenges with year-end, I can indicate that we have spent almost above 95% of the spending. The Eastern Cape and KZN, I did indicate that there were some challenges that we experienced at the end and they were beyond our control. Part D of the presentation is just to share with the portfolio committee the outcomes of the audit, which AD has already briefed the portfolio committee. We have made progress on the vote, and that has also been noted by the Auditor General. There are still findings that we have to resolve. On the Auditor Training Entity as well, there is the unqualified audit opinion. However, there were other issues that were raised then, some also linked with some of the transactions that we have to bring into our books through CCTA and Lesotho. But we are hopeful that the interventions that we are having through our principals between the two countries are also going to help us. We have developed detailed audit action plans for all the findings that have been raised by the Auditor General. That relates to findings that found their way into the audit report. There are also other findings that AG has issued to the department where they are making value-added recommendations, and we also took those into consideration when we were developing our plans as we are working towards achieving a clean audit. Of course, noting that this clean audit should be linked also with clean performance from the performance side, that we don't only have financially a clean audit, also on the performance side that we achieve those. There are some of the measures that we have put in place, Chairperson, to make sure that the organization, the culture changes. There are awareness and training initiatives that we are making within the organization. We have strengthened our internal controls, compliance and governance structures, including consequence management. We have seen fruits out of these interventions, and those are evident in the number of incidents that you are seeing under the improper expenditure register. There's been a significant decline, and I can confirm that these are some of the building blocks that we have put in place to make sure that we achieve what we have managed to achieve now, recognizing, of course, that there's still room for improvement as we move into the 23-24 financial year. We are working and we have been supported constantly by the Office of the Accountant General as we work with some of the issues that are coming from the work we are doing with LHDA. So sometimes there are technical matters that require us to proactively engage with the Accountant General. And it has helped us a lot in smoothing the preparation of annual financial statements, but also to make sure that we prevent disagreements during the audit. So those are some of the measures that we have put in place to make sure that we continue with the work of improving our financial management within the department. The last part of the presentation, Chairperson, relates to the overview of the financial recovery plan. We've been requested previously by the portfolio committee to constantly provide feedback on where we are with the financial recovery plan, to also provide assurance that our internal controls and the control environment is still effective and that we'll not be able to revert back to the challenges of the past. On slide number 23, this is just a summary of those financial recovery plans, the growth strategies, the key outputs, the status. When I was presenting the financial overview, I touched on some of those, including the fact that we are not allowed to run the department on an overdraft, similarly with the water trading entity, how we manage our accruals and payables, commitments, liabilities. So that is part of our ongoing monthly and quarterly reviews that we are doing and reconciliations. Slide number 47 is a summary of the unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As indicated earlier on, we have presented to SCOBA the 641 million, the final details and control that the management has put in place to ensure that there isn't recurrence. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the increase is mainly due to the Val River project. We had an investigation which concluded that we needed to reclassify some of those amounts to be part of our fruitless, and the department is currently implementing remedial actions, including consequence management in line with instruction notes from National Treasury. Our goal of ensuring that we conclude all these investigations by 31st of March 2024 still remains. We are working together with our internal audit, who are helping us with some of the forensic aspects that are assisting us, especially around complex cases, matters that require loss assessment, where there are serious cases. We do refer those cases to our internal auditors, and they have assisted us a lot in that regard. Slide number 48 is just a representation of the irregular expenditure, indicating which ones are still under assessment and which ones are still under determination. Those are the phrases or terminology that are used within the National Treasury guidelines that they've issued, and we are working also with SIU and the SAPS on those cases that are still under investigation. Slide number 49, represent to slide number 50, is an overview of those cases that we constantly provide feedback on around action taken where officials are implicated and where there are recoveries. How far are we with those recoveries? That includes the Beyond Water Service project and all those other projects that are listed on the two slides. We'll be able to talk to those with the meetings. Then on slide number 51, those chairperson are the cases that are with National Treasury and in the process of condonation. I already spoke to the one of unauthorized expenditure, which includes both the bucket eradication as well as the own list program. The subsequent slide, chairperson, is a record of our analysis of the root causes and deficiencies that we have identified, which we have developed corrective measures to address. That moves up until slide number 53, where we're indicating that we have put together all those policies and standard operating procedures This adds to the earlier building block that I referred to around internal control and the control environment within the organization and the department. And then the number 54 is a register of all those amounts that have been condoned over the years. And we are hopeful that with the work that we are finalizing in the 23-24, we should be able to increase this number as we condone those cases, federal condones. And then on slide number 55, the trend which supports the earlier statement, Chairperson, but also I would like to indicate that there were some contracts which were flagged by the Auditor General and Management and the Account Auditor did institute investigation on those. So as soon as the investigations are completed, we'll be able to consider and assess how we should be disclosing the particulars of those amounts that could be meeting the definition of irregular expenditure. So that will be happening in the 23-24 financial year. And then on slide number 56, again, it reflects the decline, the trend there on the protest and wasteful expenditure over the years. And we are hopeful that we will maintain the zero balances going forward. And we can move to slide number 58. Another issue that was raised with the performance information relates to the debt that has increased. But as indicated, we closed the previous financial year 24 and we closed the current financial, the reporting financial year at 25 billion. There are measures that were put in place and some of them are highlighted there on slide number 58, which is work that we're doing with National Treasury. He also spoke about the standardized trade control measures and the recovery processes that we are working with the water boards on. And where we have to really bring in the debt collectors, we are doing that. We have appointed 14 of those firms through the contract that we are participating from National Treasury. And they have assisted a lot in terms of recovering some of the monies. I must also indicate that we have support at the executive level through our minister, deputy ministers, who are constantly engaging with the mayors of various municipalities to ensure that we get the support as we carry out the administrative work. That is the summary present the appendix of, I think, part E. Those are just the details of some of the information that I have presented today. Thank you very much.